This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
You're listening to KPFT Houston and 89.5 in Galveston.
The torch I carry is handsome. It's worth its heartache in ransom, and when the twilight steals, I know how the lady in the harbor feels. When I want rain, I get sunny weather. I'm just as blue as the sky. Is gone, can't get myself together. Guess I'll hang my tears out to dry.
Start to doubt. You mess with my mind. still I didn't know what was up, what was going down.
Oh, love can push you to the limit, make you cross that fine line between pleasure and pain. Oh, love can push you to the limit, set your heart on fire, then burn you with love's brutal flame. Behind, with ever-changing rules, I no longer know how to play. Can I ever win? Strength to face the truth in a lonely world. Love can be cruel.
I can't erase the pain. I'll never be the same. I'll always feel your sting.
Love can be cruel.
Though I have to
love,
I can't change the effects of the butterfly's wings.
Oh, love can push you to the limit, make you cross that fine line between pleasure and pain. Oh, love can push you to the limit, set your heart on fire, then burn you with love's brutal flame.
Oh, love can push you. Only love can push you. Only love can push you to the limit. Only love can push you. Only love can push you. Only love can push you to the limit. Only love can push you to the limit. Always cross that fine line between pleasure.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours. Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world, and welcome to the November 4th edition of After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. I'm Jimmy Carper. I'll be your co-executive producer for the evening. Chris Arison is on hiatus. He'll be back with us next week. As you all know, as you've been listening, because I know you just don't listen to After Hours, you must listen to Hot and Bothered. I mean, and if you don't, you need to, from midnight until 1. It is Pledge Week. Actually, Pledge 3 weeks. So, we're looking for your pledge of support at 713-526-5738. It's your dollars that keep this radio station going and keeps this show on the air. And every three or four times a year, we need to come on and your pledges of support let management know that this show is viable and they should keep us on the air. Now, we've been very lucky. We've just recently celebrated 19 years on the air, and we would like to celebrate another 19 years, but that depends on the listenership and the support for this show. 713-526-5738. We already have our first pledge from Jen, and I was really thrilled to get it. It was in my mailbox, of all things. And so we're on our way. We're on our way. And so many things. And of course, Jen has been here, God, and been supporting this radio station for years now. And other comments, too many to list. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Jen. Tonight we've got, for After Hours Quickies, we've got the Colt 45s coming in to talk to us. The first segment is Hatch. We've got a couple of folks here from Hatch, and I saw Brendan running around here. And the second segment that comes on at approximately 2:30 will be the Buy segment. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, now there I've got.
Oh, now
I
can hear me.
Okay. Yeah, just for a little bit. And what have you got going on the bi segment tonight?
Well, the thing to do this month for the bisexual agenda program.
Mm-hmm.
Rob and I have been participating in a discussion group for the last 6 weeks, an 8-week group. It's a group called Discussion on Racism.
Oh, really?
And as I tell people, cool. when we go in there, we're talking about all the isms.
Good.
And we're going to talk about Robin and I's experience of that group and kind of, you know, give a look at it, say, from a bisexual perspective.
Gotcha.
And, of course, you know, just the whole issue around, you know, racism or, you know, like that, any of the isms and how people get along together and have judgments about each other.
Okay.
And, of course, how to deal with that.
Okay, great.
So,
okay, David, we'll see you later on this evening.
All righty.
Okay. I see Stephen is here, and he may occupy the seat that he's used to occupying while I go through a couple of things here.
I was out answering phones.
Oh, good. I hope people are calling in with pledges. I hope people are calling in with pledges if you were answering the phone.
Oh, I don't know. Somebody was out there.
Oh, good.
I was making some crank calls.
Oh, thank you. the place to be this morning, Sunday, from 10 a.m. till noonish.
It will be Mary's, naturally, for breakfast.
Yes,
because Mary serves breakfast. The bar can open up at 10 a.m. Sunday morning. And Sean and Gerald will be providing breakfast. We have a breakfast casserole with sausage, country gravy, eggs and cheese, hickory bacon, and a fruit medley. Yes, indeed. So if you...
And it's fabulous. It is fabulous.
Is it really?
Oh, you can smell it, because I'm only a couple doors down.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Because he's been working on it this evening.
Probably, early in the morning.
Okay, then later on... Oh, actually, this is Sunday, November 5th, isn't it? I'm a day off. Anyway, later on, Sunday, over at the BRB, the Brazos River Bottom, at 8 p.m., is ICOH presents Orlin and Ginger's Fall Fling.
Fling, fling.
Fling, fling, yes. And that is benefiting Rain 5 Charities through ICOH, Space City Empire. And we will find out what that charity is on November the 19th when they have Cotillion. And that is the event where not only do they name the charity, but they name their court and who's going to be the Duke and Duchess and Archduke and I don't know all of that, Count and and Viscount. And
now I have Cotillion stimulation.
This is
not painful.
Yes. I had that once. Took me months to get over it, yes. Anyway, that's happening at 1415 on November the 19th. Doors open at 5 p.m., and the event happens at 6. In the meantime, this Wednesday, the 8th, a jukebox show with Chanel and Montana will be happening at 9 p.m. at Mary's. And next Saturday, ICOH will be having a cocktail party at EJ's at noon for the fire dancers. And then on Sunday, the Monarch Show at Tony's at 7:30. And let's not forget the Colts Fall Roundup, but we'll be hearing more about that from Stephen in just a minute. I want to mention that the Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star, the fabulous and statuesque Citrine, invites you to join the girls as they unfold their journeys of love. That's happening 7 p.m. Saturday, November the 11th, at Tony's Corner Pocket. That's at 817 West Dallas.
The bar formerly known as Keys West.
There you go. And that's benefiting the PWA Holiday Charities. And in that vein, I got an email from Boy Darren, who is the Boy of Montrose for this year. And he wanted to send out a big thank you for the help and support for the Boots and Bayonets that he recently put on.
Was fabulous last night.
Ended up raising over $800 for the PWA Holiday Charities. And he says it was good to see the leather community come together for this, and they certainly do. The other thing we're going to be talking about is the NLA Red Ribbon Toy Drive, which should be starting up any time now, which means... this is just an incredible thing that the NLA does, the leather community. Every year it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, not only with money and donations, but toys and whatever they need, diapers, you know, whatever it is
they need. It is fabulous that you would never think of the quote-unquote, I kind of hate those quotes, leather community, but it's worked out on a couple of different levels, that they had that side of the community was represented.
Yes.
As well as, believe it or not, the community actually works together for this toy drive that goes through FH.
Yes.
They all work together.
Yes,
I can't believe
it. I do. Yes, it is incredible. But As we are finding out, there's a lot of gay men and women who have children. And so, you know, it's near and dear to our hearts that we recognize and take care of children, especially those with HIV/AIDS.
Most of us were children once.
Most of us, not all of us. I've known a couple that never happened. And speaking of National Leather Association, the Spring Iniquity 16 Pin and Poster Contest is coming up. Deadline is December 1st. And posters should be leather-related and must include the following information. Spring Iniquity, or Spring Iniquity 16, or Spring Iniquity XVI, April 20 to 22, 2007, Sweet 16, and "ow" is not a safe word. That's right. Yes. I like that. "Ow" is not a safe word. Okay. And if you want more information about that, it does not say. Oh, yes. dubcubednlahouston.org. So go there. They've probably got a whole lot more information than I do.
What was that email address or that web address? Dot cubed?
Dubcubed.
Okay, really.
Huh. That's my little thing.
Okay.
Yeah, dubcubed. NLAHouston.org. ORG.
Really?
Now, here's something that I got my hands on only because I stole the couple from Mark Cohen's stash that Rose Smith gave to him. But it's pamphlets about Homeward Bound, the Bayou City Performing Arts Gay Men's Chorus of Houston and the Bayou City Women's Chorus. And it's talking about the 2006-2007 concert series. And one of those is coming up December the 19th. Put it on your calendars now so that when anything else comes up, you can say, oh, sorry, I already have this on my calendar. November the 19th, 7:30, Jones Hall, Home for the Holidays. Perennial favorite, yes. And she even has a picture. There's even a picture of her in this.
Oh, my God. How did that happen?
I don't know.
Well, if I interject, I will say, you
and
know.
She's being laid in this picture.
Oh? So many people, you know the gay man's chorus. You know him. You love him. You
absolutely
can't live without him. It's amazing what they've done with the women's side of the chorus. They started off with one show. I think it says just one show on there. But those of us in the know and on the go, they are up to their third show. They filled the first one, the second one.
Wow.
And now, I'm probably going to get in trouble for announcing this to public, but, you know,
wow, no,
he can hit me
really
with the baton if he wants to.
Really?
But three shows in their second year, to have three shows in the second year of their choirhood.
That's damn good.
Yeah. Got a good following.
Wow.
But they run a really good ship over there at Bayou City Performing Arts.
Wow. I need to talk to somebody more about this, because I don't know anything except what's in this brochure.
Really? You'll have to get some of the people down here.
Yes.
Ooh, that would be neat.
Yes, yes.
And they're singing my favorite Christmas carol, too, but I'm not going to ruin it for the whole public.
Oh, God. Knowing you, Stephen, I'm afraid to ask.
Well, you know, when you live in the same room, I want to hog your time here, but when you live in the same house with somebody, you hear the show.
Oh, yes.
You just don't hear it with everybody else, but you hear the show.
So you know what they're going to do. Now, here's a little something here for folks. This is to inform everybody that the Outpost will be the location for the first show since the remodeling. Now, this happened last night.
It's now a drive-thru. Awesome.
It was a drive-thru. That was the problem. Somebody drove their car through the wall.
Really?
Well, they had a few.
You can't say that on the radio that they were. Oh, no.
They had a few, and I don't know what happened here. Anyway. And the regular cast members, Shyla Michaels, Gia, and Ashley Houston. Special guest entertainer for November is Citrine. The show starts at 7 p.m. This is on the 18th of November. And will end at 9. Hope to see as many people out as possible. And as soon as I get more information about this, I will give it to you. Yes.
Give it to me, baby.
Oh, yes. Oh, goodness. Yes, yes, yes. And one more thing, I think, before we get to him. On Saturday, yeah. November 18th, there will be 2 one-hour documentaries at the Rice Media Center at 7 p.m. The first of the two will be Ray Hill's Prison Show, a nationally syndicated show heard weekly on KPFT Pacifica radio station at 9 p.m. on Friday nights. The documentary for the prison show was produced by Brian Huberman. The award-winning show is Some Prisoners' Only Direct Connection with the Outside World, says Ray Hill. The second documentary is A Life and Times of Colorful Catherine J. McGuire.
Wow.
Transgendered woman, a former Marine who owned a construction company and hit the Houston social scene in the 80s, leaving Houston to go somewhere in East Europe after some problems involving taxes. Oh, my. And both of these are free to the public. And then I have addendum to that because Ray sent a little something after that and said, actually, the double feature screening will be November 17th, 18th, and 19th, a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I will not be there on the 17th because of my responsibility to host the prison show at KPFT, but I will be present on the 18th and 19th. So this 18th and 19th of November, those two documentaries and Ray Hill in person.
Wow.
That should take that could take up to 5 hours of your time.
Bitter party one?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, once Ray starts talking, it's just fascinating.
You know, just if you documented everything that Ray has seen, it would take, you know, a billion years anyway.
Yes. So, Stephen, you are currently the president of the Colt 45s. Right?
Oh, that was a question.
a statement type question.
Well, you know, it wouldn't. I would be remiss if I didn't say thank you, Jimmy, for allowing me to come here to KPFT Radio that listens to you.
Ah, thank you, thank you. And remind them to give us a call at 713-526-5738 because we're right in the middle, Mac, right in the middle of our fall pledge drive. This is your last chance of 2006 to support this station. And this show in particular.
And this show, not only you support it, but this show, and I'll say this is my testimonial.
Okay.
Put your hand on the radio. This show and the people of this show support the community in such ways that you could never imagine. Not only do they allow you to come on and speak your piece and say what your organization does as well as other things, but they actually show up. They may hide in the back, like Chris. You know, I don't know. I think it's me because I think, you know, first it was you. I made you mad, and then you wouldn't be here when I was coming in, and now it's Chris. I don't know. Him and his hyenas. Maybe, you know, when he's done with his hyenas and he'll come back.
You broke Jimmy.
He usually does. He usually does.
Who,
oh,
me?
My God.
Oh, yes, but yes, I am the president of the Colt 45s.
Ta-da.
At least right now.
And so what's going on with the Colt 45s?
I do my best. I
know
voice.
What used to be the fall roundup is now something else. Or
oh, it's the fall harvest festival
thing,
yes.
Whatever.
And well, you know, it's had its conceptions I like, and I could spin yarns if I could. But, you know, it's had several conceptions in the past. But this year, every year, the fall harvest event, it was predominantly, believe it or not, it's kind of odd for a 501c3 charity to thank the performers and organizations that helped us. And we had the performers that would come do the show.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those keep your tip shows. And
yes.
In my short, abbreviated, quasi almost 5-year life, I've never seen anybody keep their tips. But, you know, it's a nice thing. You say, go ahead, you know, feel free to keep your tips to give back to those people that have given to us so many days.
Before the AIDS epidemic. Drag performers, female impersonators, always kept their tips. Right. That was the deal. And they were the first ones to step up after the lesbians and say, hey, we'll do shows and raise money this way. And now it's... If a performer keeps their tips, it's an odd thing.
Yeah. Well, it's... Well... Oh, boy, you won't start me there. But, it costs a lot of money to look that dang good.
Oh, or that cheap.
Well, or both. Yeah, that's true. they have, some of them, you and I both know, that they have, you know, wings on their houses built just to hold the clothing.
Yes.
And you can't get out. It's like once they say, well, I don't want to do this anymore, I'm tired, or my bunions are hurting, or, you know, I'm just fed up with it because I've got every crown I could possibly have.
Never enough.
All right, those who think I'm serious, I am really not. Liar. But it's, you invest that much. Some of these people, they are lucky, and I will say there's the mentorship in the aspect. A lot of trading goes on with those dresses and gowns and ideas, more than you would ever think in a competitive world. But they swap tricks. They swap ideas, as well as, you know, wigs and things like that. So, but it's really nice. It's a really nice group. It's like any other clique, and they have big hearts.
Yes, they do. Lots of drama and big hearts.
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, anyway, back to me, Jimmy.
Yes.
No.
Enough about them. Now, about
Sunday,
you.
Sunday. November 12th, the Fall Harvest Festival. It's like a literally day at the BRB.
Whoa.
You have Eresus.
Mm-hmm.
Which I should know what that stands for.
The Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court is a single star.
Inc. They are bartending at the BRB from noon until 4. They'll whack me for that. I think it's the Kimberly. As well as Southern Country, our fine friends, fellow club at the home bar, the BRB, that does their dancing and everything on Thursday nights. Man, they pack them. Have you ever been there on a Thursday?
No.
Probably not. It's a church night for me. But they get 35, 40 people there on a Thursday at the BRB regularly.
Wow.
They do a fabulous job. They do start at each month. Anyway, they're friends of the Colts because they've given a whole lot. But they are doing barbecue and hamburgers from 2 until 5-ish. So, you know.
On Thursday?
On Sunday.
Oh.
That same Sunday.
We're back at the.
On Sunday. I'm babbling.
On the 12th.
Yes, on Sunday. Iris is doing the bar tip. Now you know why. You know, I know I'm going to have a co-pilot.
Yeah.
I'm channeling. But you have the Iris's bartending 12 to 5, and then Southern Country comes in with their barbecue and their hamburgers from 2 until 5. And then right after that, Colts coming in at 5 p.m. It's not going to be, you know, we're doing just a friendly little show.
Wow.
So that we won't conflict with everybody else doing their stuff later on that night.
Sure.
And so you just have like that noon to 5, come in, have some fun, see some entertainment, see some dancers with Southern Country.
I love some entertainers
with the Colt 45s.
I love that.
It's the Colt 45s hosting it, but we have our Colt Entertainers of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our BJ Summers Memorial Entertainer of the Year. Whew, that's a mouthful, but so is she.
Yeah.
Sarah Scholander, the fabulous Sarah and the Scholanders.
Yes.
And then you have the Colt 45s. Oh, God, I'm going to get this one wrong. Giovanni Lamon Memorial Entertainer of the Year.
That's,
which is a cult member, which is Rosemary J. Smith, and the J stands for, I don't know. No, it's not really Jay. I'm just joking.
I'm glad. Because a lot of ideas flooded through my mind at that particular time.
Jay can stand for just about anything you want.
Yeah,
about that.
There you go.
Well, it's some little, like, knickknacks, but with the whole group at the BRB, it's just going to be a day at the BRB. So come out and see Craig.
I really like that.
And
I really like that,
Tommy Sue and Mike and
From noon to 5.
Yeah, it's just going to be a fun little knick-knack thing. And then after 5, we'll do a short little show.
Uh-huh.
Be done about 7-ish.
Okay.
Go out, and there's plenty of time to go out and do the other shows.
Yes, yeah.
And we know there are.
Oh, yeah.
If you can't say, I was bored on a Saturday or Sunday here, you just don't like going to bars.
That's right, because from now until spring, there's probably shows every Saturday and Sunday night somewhere.
Right.
Going on, fundraiser shows for wonderful organizations that really deserve your bucks.
And that night, we're also going to announce the candidates, which will be presented in December at our Christmas show, December...
Oh, yes.
9th. Something like that.
Oh, damn.
You know, you would think I remember this. December 17th at the BRB, our Christmas show. Somebody was talking about the Fabulous Reese, but I won't go there just yet.
Okay.
But BJ Summers Memorial Entertainment of the Year, it's an award that the Colts have given out in honor of BJ Summers, fabulous entertainer. And you were talking about keeping the tips. Fabulous picture of BJ when BJ was extremely sick, standing on the dance floor of the BRB. Up to his kneecaps in dollar bills in a pile. Oh, my gosh. So a good friend of mine, and probably somebody you know, hi, buddy, had that picture. And it's just to think that outpouring, you know, that just they walked up after he was done with the show.
Amazing.
And it wasn't a cult show, but it was just, and just poured this money all over him. And just, you know, people have that kind of charisma.
Yeah.
Anyway, don't want to segue on that one. But our Christmas show, we are handing out our wreaths.
Oh, yes.
We normally do Christmas trees that we hand out to organizations as well as individuals.
Because
we have a few that individuals like getting in on it, where they would take a bare little miniature tree, decorate it. Doesn't have to be edible when it's done. And they would bring it in, and people would bid for it, auction it. We give a little bit of a prize, and we've had some really... nice trees.
Yes. Yes, and I have purchased a few of them in the past. So now I'm going to have, now that I'm up to my ass in trees, now it's time for wreaths. I don't say that, because there have been just some wonderfully themed small little tabletop trees. A couple that I bought for the museum.
Well, those trees are hard to get now. Well, they're not hard to get, but they're...
Really?
Oh, you bought some for the museum?
Yep. Yes. Yeah, a couple of them because of the subject matter. I thought, you know, the museum needed those. And there are a couple I just wanted for myself. You know?
Some have been beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that they aren't beautiful, but it's amazing that some of the people you would never suspect come in and they say, wow.
Yeah, exactly.
That is just fabulous. Their designer comes
in. The imagination and that comes forth.
The Nomads did one a year ago that floored me.
Really?
And we had one particular friend that came in and had these beautiful Swarovski crystals.
Swarovski, yes.
And whatnot. And because a friend of Tommy Allen, our vice president, came in, and it was a very beautiful and opulent tree, but unfortunately, he didn't put any lights on it.
Oh, well.
And so, you know, there were others, if you've seen some of these trees, that had a lot, they were very visible on a dark and stormy night.
Yes,
and
yes.
So he vowed that this year, he's learned.
Put lights on the tree, yes.
But we have a wreath, because we're just going to change it around a little bit, and then, you know, that way, if you're a collector, you know, you can only put out so many trees, and then you can have wreaths, and you can hang those wreaths anywhere
just
you want
anywhere.
To.
Just anywhere.
Anywhere you want to.
It can be a fashion item, actually, as we discussed earlier.
Yes.
So that's happening December the 19th.
Yes.
Great.
And
yes, because I love that, and I have been very honored to be the recipient of the Golden Colt Award in the past.
Yes. And an honorary Colt.
I am an honorary Colt, yes.
And that said honorary, not honorary. Honorary, not honorary.
Oh, yeah. Honorary. Yeah, I left out a syllable, I guess. Anyway, I need to get you out of here because it's time to get the Hatch folks in. I know.
Well, I'll come back.
Yes, please. And bring that guy with you who wants to talk about, I guess, the toy drive, huh?
Yes.
What's his name? Oh, God. This is terrible to do on the air.
Oh, and I'm going to get very terrible. But
yeah.
Hi, Skippy. Love you. I don't remember your name.
Okay.
But he's the president of NLA.
Ooh.
And I'm sure he will stop by and drop off some information, because I think they're just about to announce. It's a fabulous, fabulous thing.
Okay. Okay. It's time to bring in the Hatch folks, and I'll have a little music. Thank you, Stephen, for being here. I really like when you show up, because...
I've had 7 cups of coffee.
Well, you really test me.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, when Chris gets back from his hiatus, yeah, we'll all get together.
You keep me on my toes, I must say. So, in the meantime, we've got Blast from the Past, Farron, from her CD Phantom Center. This is called Stand Up. A nice little sentiment that we could use at this time of year.
I wanna love life, the vision in the wind, I'm gonna stand up.
Theron with Stand Up from her CD Phantom Center. That 1995. Wow, I told you that was an oldie. But the message is still relevant today. And I cannot believe that I forget. See, when Chris isn't here, I forget these things. Beth.
Oh, okay. What things did you forget, Mr. Newman?
I forgot to talk about the opening music.
Yes, you did need to talk about the opening music.
And I had it sitting right here.
It's all lined up.
I played a special song tonight. I played Mary Beth Shalacy.
Oh.
Now, that's not going to ring a bell with too many people here. But Mary Beth Shalacy is married to Bob Cham, who used to be the engineer here at KPFT.
How totally cool.
And she put out this great CD of standards. And she sings around town still.
Yeah.
And when I was co-hosting with Jim on Esoteric Adventures, we played her a lot on that show.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I usually reserve this show for openly GLBT people. So I ran into them at a restaurant, Arriva's.
Okay.
Right over here. And I hadn't seen them in years. And she asked about if I still had the CD. And I said, yeah. And, you know, when Esoteric Adventures was around, I played it, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I reserved, you know. And then I thought about it. And I went back to her and I said, well, you know, you live in the Montrose.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Jimmy, are you telling me that you had a coming out story told to you?
Well, especially with Mary Beth, and I probably shouldn't say this on the air, but I was at a dinner party over at her house, her and Bob,
mm-hmm.
and in a very lady-like fashion, she let me know that queers did not have a corner of the market on fellatio.
Well, the B element in the Houston community is alive and well.
Yes, yes. So I always remember that. I mean, it just stopped me in my tracks, and I thought, oh, well, yeah. And so Mary Beth Shalacy with Guess I'll Hang My Tears Out to Dry. Nice old standard. And after that, new music for After Hours by a guy by the name of Darren. And that was called The Limit, and that was kind of a dancey number.
Uh-huh.
So now it is time for the Hatch segment.
Hi, Hatch.
Hello.
Hi.
Who have we got tonight?
We have me, Seth.
Hey, Seth. How you doing?
I'm excellent. How are you?
Great, great. And?
Madison.
Hi, Madison.
Hey, how you doing?
And we have a facilitator here.
Yes, I'm Brendan.
Yes, good old Brendan, yes. So, what are we talking about tonight, folks?
Things we're thankful for.
Because
Thanksgiving is coming up.
That's right, it sure is. It sure is. And being a member of Hatch certainly would be something to be thankful for.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I've heard, if something like Hatch was around when I was your age.
Oh, yes. I know. I'm sure you're tired of hearing it. But it's so true. It is so true.
Yeah, I know.
I count you guys lucky that you don't have to, what we had to do when we thought we were the only ones in the world, we had to recreate ourselves every generation.
Get me thinking about that.
Because, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you get with Hatch and you realize that there's a history out there and you can learn from it and go on from there.
Mm-hmm. Before we start tonight's segment, I need to give a couple announcements and phone numbers.
You bet.
What is it, next Sunday? November 12th.
That would be next Sunday.
We are having our friends and family night at Hatch.
Oh.
Bring your friends and family along that you want to bring. and we're also inviting new people to come out.
Okay, so if friends and family, so
that would be helpful.
How would I know where to go?
Well, for information about our scheduling and mm-hmm. such, we have a phone number for Hatch.
Ah.
It's 713-529 3590. And you can talk with the two main facilitators. They will give you information and such.
Okay.
There's also an automated schedule.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay.
And,
cool.
What's the web address for that?
The web address, it's www.hatchyouth.org.
H-A-T-C-H, youth. Okay.
That's our website.
Gotcha.
And November 17th, Friday, November 17th, is going to be our Thanksgiving
holiday
party,
feast.
I guess. Yeah, feast. Our Thanksgiving feast.
Is it a potluck?
I'm not sure. I think we're having catering.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, those fundraisers have paid off, haven't they?
Yeah.
Can't do a potluck because it would be our luck that there might be potluck.
Wouldn't that be terrible? Yes, that would be terrible.
Yeah.
That's against everything we're about.
That's the reason we can't do it.
Can't, shouldn't, and would never.
Gotcha.
And there's another number I'd like to give out. It's for the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard of Houston, for those of you in crisis or if you just need someone to talk to when no one's available. They answer your calls 24/7. The number is 713-529-3211. That's the number for Gay and Lesbian Switchboard Houston.
Yeah, sure is.
If you ever need anybody to talk to, that's the number to call.
And you know, everyone should probably program that in their phone, because you never know when you or someone you love might be a victim
of
hate crime.
Yes, and if you're going to put it in your phone, put it under GLHS. That way, if you're not out and somebody's going through your phone, they don't see Gay and Lesbian Switchboard, and they're like, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, he's gay.
Yeah.
And I know one of the things that the Switchboard will be able to do is if you are you a victim of a hate crime or a sexual assault, they can find an advocate that will be with you throughout that whole process, whatever that process might be.
Yeah, this Switchboard, since it's been a part of Montrose Counseling Center, has really expanded what they can do.
Yeah, and Jimmy, you used to be a volunteer for the Switchboard, weren't you?
Yes, for 15 years.
Yeah.
Yes. I wasn't one of the originators. The Switchboard started in 1981, but I came along in 1988 and stayed until the transition was completed, and hung out for about a year after that, and I thought, it's time for me to retire. 15 years, and I don't want to be one of those folks to say, oh, well, we used to do it this way.
Wow. Something's been around longer than you.
Careful.
There aren't very many of those, aren't there?
No, they're not. It's awful when you like older men, and at my age, there's so few left. So
there are men older than you.
Not many.
Your husband.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And another thing that Hatch has to be thankful for is... this is a segue, is this radio show.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And since this is Pledge Drive, you can show your support for Hatch and keeping this show alive by calling 713-526-5738. We don't want to beat you over the head and talk about it for, 10, 15, 20 minutes continuously, but we want to remind you that we do need your support, and we are far behind in our goals. So 713-526-5738. If somebody would call, a couple of people would call, we could get our goal and then just continue with the show, and I wouldn't have to interrupt, but I do. 713-526-5738.
Your donations help Hatch get out there.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely.
You let Hatch out of the closet with your donations.
Yes.
Gay puns, so fun.
Well, gosh, how long has Hatch been a segment for for the show?
You go on with that, and I'm going to bring in somebody
who
originated the segment.
Wow.
He's here tonight.
That's
just a moment.
That's kind of neat.
Somebody that's been around since the dawn of time, right?
That question.
The question was how long Hatch has been a show, a segment for After Hours.
It's been a long time, and and oddly enough, speaking of a long time, the person who he's coming to get just had a birthday.
Oh, wow.
Awesome. Yesterday, technically, since we're now two hours past midnight.
Happy belated birthday.
Yep. You know, he had, yes, as of technically yesterday, he is now 31 years old.
Oh, 31.
Well, as I like to say, the day doesn't end until I go to sleep.
Which also leads into that whole thing of how long Hatch has been around.
Yeah.
19 years.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's been, I know it's been a long time.
Hatch is as old as I am.
Well, I guess we should probably get started with our topic.
Yes. Things we're thankful for, since Thanksgiving is coming up. And one thing I think most people are thankful for is the heroes that we have. And I'm sure everyone has one hero, at least. And everybody should have at least one gay hero. Well, everybody that's gay anyway. So, Maddie, why don't we start with you? Give us a few of your gay heroes.
I got tons, but again, like I said, I got like one or two gay heroes, but the rest are all trans, being that I am trans. But I'd have to say Melissa Etheridge would be one of mine, just because so much of my family is affected by cancer and everything.
Yeah, go in there.
And she's like...
Yeah. Being banished. I want to introduce you to Scott Kalupa.
Gotcha. Scott, hi, Scott.
Scott and
hello.
I finagled and worked together, and it took about a year.
Actually, it just took a year for Jimmy to start returning my phone calls.
Well,
because he's so good at it.
No, I'm not. I'm terrible at that. But, no, there was some organizing that we had to do and convince folks at Hatch that this is this would be a good thing. Because there's an initial problem with the late night.
There was, especially because the Houston curfew was a little wet behind the ears at that point.
Yeah. Do you remember what year that was?
Oh, God. Had to have been like 97, 98.
I think earlier than that.
No, because I got back to Houston from 2 years in the Hill Country in 96.
Oh, okay.
So...
Okay.
96. Probably about 97.
Okay. Well, we're coming on 10 years with this segment.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's half my life.
Oh. That's a third of mine.
Again with the...
I'm not making all kinds of references to make you feel old.
I see. Well, no, I can't lie. Yes, I am.
Yes.
Well, it's easy to make Jimmy feel old.
Yeah,
stand next to him for 5 seconds.
There is nothing wrong with being old. You should be proud about your age.
I am.
Because you outlive a lot of people.
Yes.
Considering the alternative to old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not old enough to be a member of Spry yet. But I'm knocking at the door, I'll tell you.
Well, I can remember that first year when Hatch started up, because that was also my first year working with the transgendered segment. Yes, it was.
Wow. So, do you know that was 1997?
I'm pretty sure that was, yeah.
1997,
oh my
okay.
God.
Wow.
Wow. I actually remembered something correctly. Mark your calendars.
No, that's great. That's great.
Oh, yeah, I've had CRS since I was like 2.
I think that would qualify you as a Hatch hero.
Oh, absolutely.
You helped start
it. Absolutely.
Well, who was it? Wes started dragging me around here.
Mm-hmm.
And, who's that girl we used to hang out with all the time?
Please. That's too...
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's falling down one of the CRS holes.
Yes.
So,
I know how it goes, Jimmy. They say the first thing that goes with age is,
what?
You forget.
I missed that.
The second thing that goes is the memory. I can't remember what the first thing is.
Yes.
That's priceless.
I'm going to have to use that.
So there was one night, I guess it was like right after the Pride Parade. Mm-hmm. I think it was the first night parade. And I was marching.
That was 1997 because I was Grand mm-hmm. Marshal that year.
I was marching. Yeah, you were Grand mm-hmm. Marshal. You and that shiny pink shirt you could see from like Dallas.
It's my color, you know.
It is. It's her signature color.
Yeah.
So, and I was marching with Hatch and next to nothing.
Yes.
And I showed up at the radio, and nobody else had arrived yet, and Jimmy was starved for somebody on the mic, so he just threw me on.
I tend to do that.
Yes. So, and then after that, we started kicking around the idea of a show on Hatch, because mm-hmm. I'd already been coming around here for a while, and we'd spent a couple nights at Charlie's trying to hash it out.
Yep.
Oh, ha ha ha, another pun.
Yes.
Golly, these chicken puns, I tell you.
No. I don't make chicken puns.
It gets on my nerves so bad, because every time my father calls me, he has to say, so, you going to steer the chicks today? Going to Hatch?
That's okay.
I'm just yoking with you. Like, oh my gosh. Never have I wanted to strangle you until now. It's too many puns, okay? Too many bad puns.
All right.
I used to work in the orange juice factory, but I got canned because I couldn't concentrate.
Ouch. Meanwhile, you know, back at the chicken ranch.
You know something? There seems to be a tradition of people being dragged to the studio and becoming a part of the show.
Yes.
Yes, there is.
Yes.
But right now we're talking about Hatch history, not Merlin history.
Wasn't.
Look, woman.
We don't have enough time for that.
Oh.
I love you, Merlin.
She's too old. There's too much history.
Sugar, you want to stay a redhead? I'll snatch you bald.
I think we need to take a break, and I need to cut in here and remind folks that they are listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude right here on good old KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM and 89.5 down in Galveston. Now, I've got a little one-minute promo from one of the folks who's running for the station board, because those elections are coming up. So give a listen and then call 713-526-5738 with your pledge of support.
Here at KPFT, your vote matters most. Now here's a word from one of our candidates. I'm Teresa Allen. Since first serving on the board, we've grown from 30 to over 90 diverse affiliate stations that air Pacifica programs. This has meant a huge injection of energy and creative ideas for the Pacifica family. Of interest to me now is the tension between providing a forum to express ideas on the air and providing opportunities to test and dialogue about those ideas. John Russworm, who co-founded the first black newspaper in the Western world, once said, "We wish to plead our own cause. Too long others have spoken for us. For though there are many in society who exercise towards us benevolent feelings, there are others who make it their business to enlarge upon the least trifle, which tends to discredit our whole body. I constantly introduce people to the KPFT program schedule, encouraging them to find a program of significance to them. But KPFT is not any one program. We are the entity that empowers each and every individual to plead their own cause and bring dialogue to the airwaves. I'm dedicated to preserving the entity that empowers such diverse people and community. Please vote Teresa Allen for local station board.
KPFT Houston."
Yes. Okay, we are back.
We are?
Yes, we are.
Yay.
Yes, we are. The Hatch segment tonight, they're talking about not only the history of Hatch, since we have the founder of the show.
The radio
here.
Show. Yeah, I didn't found the group.
No. But you did found the show.
The group's older than me.
Yes, it is.
You would have been, what, 11? Around 11, 12?
Yes, I remember.
How
yes.
long has
That's too young for Hatch.
I'd
be 13.
Oh. And
when I signed on,
the Hatch folks are talking about what they are thankful for.
Yes.
Seth and Madison.
And, you know, like I said earlier, one thing I'm thankful for is my heroes. I have a few gay heroes. One of my closest heroes would have to be my uncle.
Mm-hmm.
He's been out for a very long time. and he's been Well, he was actually one of the people who helped me to come out.
Really?
You know? Yeah.
Cool. I was just going to ask about how he influenced you.
Yeah, and he was actually one of the people that told me about Hatch. It was, like, what, 5 years ago when I was 14?
Wow.
He told me about Hatch, and he didn't know the number or anything, but I went online to research it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was living in Corpus Christi at the time, so I was hoping there would be something like that down there.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, there is.
There is?
Yes.
A Hatch group?
Not a Hatch group.
Oh.
But one of my friends who used to go to Hatch went down to Corpus Christi and started a group down there called Catch.
Wow.
Yes, Catch. Imagine all the bad puns with that one.
Yeah.
Quite a catch in Corpus.
Yes.
Yeah, they're all catchers. Nobody's a pitcher.
I beg your pardon. I used to live in Corpus. I was a pitcher.
Oh, please. That's now what I just, they all now say I until play, they get older.
Now I play quarterback and center. So.
Gotcha.
Anyway, my personal life aside, I don't need to know what goes on in my bedroom.
Don't want to know.
Might scare some of you. Yeah, my
know
uncle.
That business of anyone under 21.
Yes. Your uncle.
Yes, my uncle. He told me about Hatch, and he helped me to get the courage to come out to my family. Especially since his sister was my stepmom.
Mm-hmm.
And she was one of the first people I came out to. I actually came out to him first.
Yeah, I guess it was well known in the family that he was gay.
Yes, everybody knew.
Yeah, okay. And so you came out to him?
Yeah.
Or did he say, Seth, honey, guess what? You're gay.
No, that's actually what my mother said when I told her. She was like, Seth, I knew. I knew when you were 6 years old, sitting in that fuzzy blue chair with a pot on your head, watching Little Mermaid 5 times a day.
Five? I watched it 500 times.
There's not enough hours in the day for that.
Yeah.
But if I could have, I would have. I still know all the songs by heart. I'll spare y'all.
Body language.
Oh, gosh. Just don't do the movement. Yeah, he helped me a lot. I don't think he realizes how much he's helped me so far. And he's helped me in more ways than that, actually. But another one of my gay heroes is this person I've been talking to for a good month and a half. And, you know, he's been struggling with some things. He's been struggling with things because, you know, he wasn't out for the longest time. He was living a double life. And, you know, he made me appreciate just how much of a blessing it is to be able to be out, which is another thing. I have tons of heroes because in order to qualify for a gay hero for me, you meet very minimal qualifications. Just have the courage and just utter, you know, respect for yourself to be out in public. You know, not just out in public, but out with your family, because I know a few people who are out in public, but not with their family.
Hmm.
You know, 1 foot in, 1 foot out.
Yeah, that's a funny juxtaposition.
Don't want to go into that.
Why? It's juxtaposition.
Yeah.
Bad puns.
Yeah, but I don't really have that many heroes as far as heroes go. I mean, I never really put that much thought into it, but, you know, like I said, my uncle, one of my very good friends, and then, of course, anybody who's out, because it is... And then those who are not out, even, because the struggles they go through, the way they have to live their lives, makes me appreciate so much more the fact that I'm able to be out, and that I have a loving family that accepts me. And that's all I have as far as heroes go. Maddie?
Oh, shucks, we're back to me.
Yes.
I thought we started with me.
We did. It's and then all we went you. To me, and then we went to this one, and then we went to Brendan, and then back to me, and now back to you.
I don't want to start talking. I might get cut off.
That's what we have tape for in the closet.
Okay. Anyway.
I don't even know. Forget it. So I was talking about Melissa Etheridge, one of the famous ones, and everything. And like I said, because most of my family's had cancer before, and she had it. But the main reason she gets it is because my aunt, who is also one of my heroes, who has passed on, was a lesbian. And everything. And so many times when I hear a lot of the songs, I think of Melissa Etheridge, I think of my aunt, who I consider my mother, even though she wasn't. And she actually knew I was, I guess I'll say gay, because at that time I didn't technically know what I was, and she probably didn't expect me to exactly turn out the way I did. But she, I learned many years later that she had it planned, and in fact, she kept an eye out and everything. I found the other day when it was National Coming Out Day, and I was that night at midnight when I was flipping through the a book that she had next to the page where my picture was, and it was a rainbow ribbon and everything. So I took that and I said, she definitely knew something. Don't know what it was, but she knew.
She had you labeled from the start.
I was like, how many years ago? I mean, she's been gone for 10 years, and this has been in here for 10 years? She knew something was up.
Mm-hmm. She knew before you knew?
It's called gaydar.
That doesn't always work. We know a few people that try it, and it doesn't work.
Oh, boy.
That leads to a lot of problems.
Yeah. Doesn't it, though?
Awkward moments.
Oh, yes.
But if you pay attention, you will learn when to use it. I've actually been able to pick up on that. God,
I don't know why, but mine work better on lesbians.
Mine, too.
Well, when you see somebody in a flannel shirt and blue jeans walking down, it's really
let's not get into stereotypes. Come on.
They're redneck.
Be nice. Be nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I got one of my cousins who quickly becoming another hero who's also lesbian. She wants to be a truck driver, and she served in the military.
Wow.
Not to seem cruel.
How more stereotypical
how can
lesbian
can
you get?
If you want to talk about stereotypes.
Does she have a mullet?
She did.
Oh, my goodness. Wait a minute. She's still dating guys, right?
She's a lesbian.
Yeah, I know. But she still tries to play the part?
She's dating as a guy?
I don't know. I mean, I know I don't want it to go any further because she might be listening.
That's the danger of live radio.
So, well, she said she was going to be asleep, but knowing my luck, she managed to roll over and turn the radio on. But
without you there to kick her out of the bed.
Well, I did that the other night, but sorry.
Even more so, she plans on listening to the show on the archives?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. You just shot my horse.
That's not what I wanted to do with your horse.
Whoa.
I don't want to know what you wanted to do with my horse.
Whoa. Battle up and ride that bad boy. No.
And like I said, she really has the stereotypes down.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Like
I mean, who would ever thought? But
well, somebody has to, otherwise we wouldn't have stereotypes.
And stereotypes exist because there are people who actually do fit into them.
That's right. Yeah. Stereotypes only exist because some of them are true.
That's what I'm saying. I mean,
it doesn't make it a good thing. It's just
not for everybody, but for some.
You can't help it if the stereotype exists. But let's get back to our subject on heroes. I did talk about Melissa Etheridge, and of course there's Ellen and all these others, but for me, mainly it has to be like trans related for the fact that I'm trans, and one of those that are really big for me and I want to meet her for passion is Jenny Finney Boylan. And she actually wrote a book. I don't know, can we say the name of the book on the radio?
Go ahead.
Yeah. It's called She's Not There, Life in Two Genders. And that book, if it wasn't for that book, I don't know what I'd be doing right now. I keep that book with me. It's actually in my truck right now.
How many times have you read it?
How many fingers do everybody in this room have?
Oh, that's an excellent question.
Times it about five times.
1, 2, 3, 4. That's 200.
Okay, well,
yeah,
that's about three more
that'd
in here.
That'd be
50. Yeah,
for
if you count,
that'd be fine.
I've read it quite a bit, actually, and I know everything about her from that. Well, I mean, I don't think she put everything about her in the book.
Nobody ever does.
Yes.
There's not enough.
Except for Bill Clinton. I mean, you saw how big his was.
No, I didn't.
Monica did, though.
Yeah, I can't claim to be Monica.
I'm in the book. My life, there was like 900 pages or 1,000.
Okay.
But
what in the book makes it so that you carried around with you? How is it inspiring?
Because it just shows you that she's there and she's been through it. And the way she brings it out, it's everything that I felt at her age and felt now.
Can you give us one quote from the book that really plucks at your heartstrings?
Gosh, that's putting someone on the spot.
Yeah, he's good like that.
Does it have to be an exact quote? Just a sentiment.
Well, I mean, there was one she was talking about. Like, used to, I used to always say I wanted to go off somewhere and hope to goodness I woke up female. I used to think about going to an alien planet, breathe the air, and change. Well, in that, she actually talks about finding this, I think it was a rock out there, and she used to play astronaut, where when she got on the planet and lifted her mask, she automatically turned female, and she was happy. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that really happened, because I had the same thoughts, being that young.
They have something like that, except it's a doctor's office. You walk in and walk out, and you come out female.
Yeah, but it takes a while to get there. It
takes a long while to get there.
A year of living full time.
After therapy, hormone treatment, all that.
Yeah. After it takes $500,000, an arm, a leg, two kidneys, and your kid.
Well, you know, poor kid.
Yeah, and you're going to lose a lot more than your kidneys, too.
$15,000, that's a lot.
That's not including the hormones you still need afterwards occasionally.
I'm assuming that insurance doesn't cover any of that cost.
My insurance covered my hormones after.
Oh, wow.
So
wow. How'd you pull that off, if you don't mind me asking?
Was it full coverage?
They full coverage, yeah. They didn't care.
Oh, so you didn't have to pay any copayment?
It depends on the company.
What is it, $5 for the copay? And it's not that expensive anyway. You're talking about maybe $30 a month.
Damn, I need to give a few later.
Well, find out who the company is and what the policy number is.
I used to do the transgendered segment here.
Oh. Okay.
Then I moved.
But yeah, how are things in Dallas?
Works okay, but I miss KPFT a lot.
Who doesn't?
Have you ever played hero for a member of Hatch?
I have not had the opportunity to do that.
She just became mine. Aww. One of them.
Never?
No.
A shame?
Sarah, who worked for Shell, who was really active in the community years ago.
I can see her face, and I can't remember her last name.
Yeah, she had done quite a bit of that.
Yeah, she was doing the trans show
when I started up the Hatch segment, and she's been around the station
You're thinking of Sarah DePalma.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm thinking of a different Sarah, who was working with Hatch and had done, quite a bit of mentoring and had
programs. We were facilitators together.
Sarah.
I don't remember her last name.
Oh, come on.
Sarah, the Hatch facilitator. If you know who she is, eventually let us know her last name.
Well, actually, Sarah's probably listening and will give us a call later.
Why are we all talking about me?
Hatch has had a really long history with at least trans members.
Mm-hmm.
As far back as I can remember, I mean, we always had at least two or three trans members at any given time.
I know as long as I've been coming, we've had at least five new trans members come to those doors.
Yeah, easy.
Yeah.
And that was very reassuring to me to know that, you know, there are those who... What was I going to say? I have the thought. I just can't get it into words.
It's a safe place to be.
Yeah.
For whatever corner of the queer community you fit into.
So the GLBTQIA.
And the GLBTQISAO community.
Pretty soon we'll add every damn letter in the alphabet.
Oh, I think we're going to do unisex.
There we go.
Because we keep going, I mean.
That would fall under intersex.
No, unisex is different.
How's it different?
I have no idea, but I'll figure that out.
Wouldn't that be someone... for the bathroom, intersex.
I'm going to give that to the...
If you're thinking unisex, are you thinking about someone with ambiguous genitalia? Because that's intersex.
No, I know. I was just throwing an extra letter into it. Just for the heck of it, I'm going to add it somehow. Maybe it's somebody that's intersex and was related
to
a unicorn.
We should just call it the...
Well, it started here.
We should call it the A&E community. Anyone and everyone.
There we go. I think it should be the GT community because you're either gay or you're trans somehow.
Well, but what about the bisexuals?
That still kind of qualifies under the gay part.
And
parts.
What about the intersex?
That still kind of under the trans
Not
part.
Not really.
Well,
because trans means
different.
You're changing.
Trans goes from one to the other.
Intersex
is already both.
I'm not an expert, but I look at trans as being intersex. The only thing is it's on the inside. Intersex was on the outside. I think they're basically the same thing. It's just you got a more physical thing when you got the intersex, but when you're trans, you just didn't have the physical part showing.
So you could be amorphic.
Yeah, you're just on the inside. It's, your mind's just that pattern and stuff.
Or we could just do GTI.
There we go.
I still like my A&E. But then again, we might be facing lawsuits with copyright infringement.
The problem of...
Then we'll call it E&A.
Arts and... Yeah.
E&A. Is there any organization called the E&A? I don't think we'll have problems with that.
Not that I'm aware of.
It'll be everyone and anyone. Or just the E community. Everyone.
Yay!
And then there's... You know, I want to go on to... If we're going to talk about heroes, there's also... Let's talk about the ones I don't want to say that are gone now and everything. Because there were, even though it was by their deaths they became more famous, they're still heroes. They're heroes nowadays. I mean, like Matthew Shepard, although he has passed, he's a hero. And I know a lot of people that would be in it. And then there's also
Harvey Milk.
Yeah. Brandon Tina. Gwen Arujo. Or I don't know if I said her last name right. Yeah, thank you. All of these people that passed, and just recently, I heard on the TV, I don't know her name, news, and it might have been like last year, but I heard about it, of a lesbian woman in New Jersey who got stabbed just at a bus stop and everything, pretty much because she was lesbian. I mean, the fact she turned the guy down who asked him to get in and said she was lesbian. So, sorry, we don't go for that because I'm a lesbian and everything. We're gay. I mean, that to me shows courage beyond almost anything out there. She doesn't even know that person.
Standing up for your beliefs to the point where you're willing to die.
Well, that's not exactly what
she didn't know
just
was going to happen.
Might be a little overstated.
It's just the courage to be yourself no matter who you are.
Well, I would die for my beliefs. I'd be like, if you say you're gay, I'm going to shoot you in the head. I'd say, I'm gay. I'm not going to lie about who I am, ever.
Well, it's a line from a Shakespearean play, you know. Remember this, above all else, to thine own self be true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is how I used to end my show every month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
a good way. We should start doing that.
Or then there's Martin Luther in the heat of the Catholic Reformation, or Protestant Reformation, when he was being excommunicated by Leo the X, said, "Here I stand, I can do no other."
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And damn the torpedoes and full speed ahead.
Fire the less probe time laser.
Oh, no. I hadn't in any mind of going there, you know. It was never my intention to quote Star Trek.
Sorry, I figured, Bobby's
We have
here
a Trekkie in the booth. Scotty, beam him out, please.
No, I've been around Merlin all day. We were just sitting in the... watching The Dark Crystal because they were showing it. It was the midnight
movie.
Show at the River Oaks tonight.
I love that movie.
And,
to make a Star Trek
he
reference.
Was making Trek references during The Dark Crystal. I thought I was going to hack.
He wasn't the only one.
Hey, he was making them while next to me.
Oh, well, that wasn't the only. That wasn't the only show I was making reference to.
This is true. He was covering several.
Star Trek.
Can't you just sit and enjoy the movie?
Star Wars, Harry Potter. I mean, you know,
I can't help
Buffy
it
the Vampire Slayer.
I can't help it if that fizz gig thing looks like
Star
a
Wars?
Tribble with teeth.
Oh.
Oh, no. Never mind. We are not going there.
The trouble with tribbles is that Merlin won't shut up about them.
Can we stop going off about Merlin?
So. Heroes? Back to heroes.
Back to heroes.
What superhero out of any comic book would you say would most fit your current personality?
Batgirl. Oh, my goodness.
Batgirl, hands down.
Hands down, Batgirl.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know the explanation for that.
Don't know yours?
It's not that I don't know. It's that I'm having to choose carefully which one I want to say.
Okay.
I'll say them all.
Superman, the guy in tights. We know Seth goes for that.
And a cape. No.
You wouldn't catch me dead in tights.
Okay. I would say you would be in. I just say you go for it.
Well, he said which one would I want to be with. Because, you know, if y'all have seen, what is it, My Super Ex-Girlfriend?
Oh.
That scene where they're doing that thing in the air? Yeah, that's pretty hot. I wouldn't mind trying that.
So whose would you be, Seth?
Gosh, I don't know. I would have to say...
Come on, Seth. You can say it. You can say it. I know it's in there.
I would have to say Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman.
And there's an explanation for this.
He just wishes he could be Linda Carter.
Please.
I am very satisfied with who I am.
Okay. Come on. Tell us.
Because I love me. Because, like, you know, she has her lasso of truth.
Yes.
And I can relate to that because, you know, I always tell all my friends when I give them my phone number that they can call me for anything if they ever need anybody to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And,
A shoulder to cry on?
Yes. And plus, you know, just complete strangers, people I've never seen before, they'll start telling me their life story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes somebody just needs somebody to talk to and it somehow is always me.
I can totally identify.
So it's like, you know, I have this magnetism, wrapping people around with my lasso of truth, pulling them to me, tell me everything. And then, you know, those bangles she wears that reflects projectiles and all that. You know, the things, you know, I've been through a lot of stuff, and I'm somehow able to not let it get me down. You know, I take what I can from it, learn from the experience, and move on. You know, I don't let it damage me in any way. Just let it bounce off. And I just want the invisible jet.
What I could never figure out was how we were able to see her while she was inside that invisible jet.
Because the jet's invisible, duh.
Yes, but the material is around her.
The material's invisible.
I'm sure
she's not invisible.
She must have looked awful funny.
Flying around in the sitting booth.
The jet's made of invisible material.
Yes,
you take Wonder Woman, who's not invisible, and put her in something that's invisible, and she's visible. Makes sense.
Then
to
how
me.
Do you explain the invisible cloak on Harry Potter? Shouldn't you be able
you
to
don't.
See him?
Oh, Harry Potter's a different
that's
universe.
That's because his
that's a whole other universe.
Okay, but,
see,
but
the light you're getting off. Your universes confused.
But another reason why I bring up the invisible jet is because, you know, I pretty much wear all aspects of my personality out on my sleeve. You know, what you see is what you get. You know, if you don't like me, fine. It's your loss because I'm a great person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
who
I love
this
me.
Ad pay for by.
I'm not running for anything yet.
My name is Seth Roberts, and I...
Well, you're not me. You only wish you did.
And I endorse this ad.
There you go. He's learning about politics.
Nobody had to pay for this. I give it freely.
There you go.
I jump at the opportunity out, to tell people how much I love myself.
All right, don't go calling me a pervert,
you know,
on the air.
You're okay. Oh, no. I'm not talking about like that.
Well, you know, it is part of a healthy sex life.
Actually, it is. I'm planning to be a sex therapist, and, you know, I've taken several classes in human sexuality. You learn a lot of things in that class.
Mm-hmm. So remember, when you need help with sex therapy and you go to your therapist and the first name on it says Seth, turn and walk back around and find somebody else.
Oh, no, no, you didn't.
You're turning away my clients before I even get any?
Even
jeez, how could you?
Well, you know who's probably going to turn them away is when they walk in the door and then they see on the coffee table the saddle and the jumper cables. That's probably going to do it.
How did you know about my jumper cables?
Because they're in my truck.
I have never told anybody about my jumper cables.
Oh, please, you're not the only one with a pair of jumper cables.
Well, I heard something about tasers, too.
How did you hear about that? Oh, my gosh. How do people know about my fetish for electricity?
What? MySpace.
Okay.
I don't have that on my MySpace. I have nothing about that on my MySpace. Hey. I quit blogging about that months ago.
Let's stop it. Zesty goes as big as goes into MySpace, your space, and everybody else's space, but let's get off of it.
Okay.
That's actually a pretty accurate description.
One question. Given the nature of the world today, who would you want to be the hero for?
Because I want to be honestly, I tell people all the time I'm going to come back at 25 and be a Hatch facilitator. And I just started going to Hatch about 4 or 5 months ago because Hatch is so much, and there's so much I can do for Hatch that I know I can do. And it's the youth that need heroes because, like y'all said, back then y'all didn't have as many heroes to look up to. Now, this generation has a chance to be heroes for the next generation and give them somebody to look up to. That's already starting, but with our generation, I believe that in about another, you give about another 20 years, you're going to see a lot of stuff GLBT related and stuff going out. Because this generation is probably the most open generation we've had in years. And so finally we're going to get a chance to go, and Seth, me, and all the other few youth at Hatch are finally going to take and become heroes for the new generation. It's like, like I said, we're just going to be the new heroes. Although I don't want to be like, I don't think we're going to go around wearing red tights and a blue shirt, I hope.
Although it is fun from time to time.
But we're not going to get into that.
Especially in Seth's future sex therapist office.
Aside from aspiring to be a sex therapist, I also plan on being a, you know, regular clinician, you know, therapy. And also I want to be a gay trauma counselor. There's not enough of those. Therapists dealing exclusively with gay issues and then those issues intertwined with it, both in a social and familial and environmental aspect.
Venture into any ex-gay deprogramming?
I will.
Because that's definitely gay trauma.
Yes, it is.
And I don't think any specific person I want to be a hero for, aside from my little brother. I hope to be a hero for the entire GLBTQ ISAO community.
And you.
And you, and X, Y, and Z.
Whoever she is.
But I plan to live my life one day at a time, help as many people as possible, and whoever's hero I end up being, that's whose hero I am.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that attitude, because I don't know that I necessarily want to be anybody's hero. I mean, I'd rather people learn from my experience than learn from my
example.
And if
you plan on being a hero early, it's just so much pressure, you know. If it happens, it happens.
But just think about it. You started the Hedge Radio segment.
Well,
how many times
you're
do you
my
think?
Hero.
Had you not done that, we wouldn't be here.
No.
And
no,
you
no,
might
no,
not
no,
have
no,
been
no,
able
no,
to
no,
give
no,
somebody
no,
else
no.
the courage to be out.
Well,
the fact that you started it, you became a hero maybe 10 years from when you started it, you're now a hero to somebody because of what me and Seth are doing now because of you.
Yeah, I'm convinced.
And I'm grateful for that because, you know, it's nice that there's this forum where people can talk and be heard and, you know, other gay youth can really kind of listen in, say they don't have the benefit of finding Hatch. They've got KPFT in the segment. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got a hero of mine standing in the room back there.
That would be Jimmy.
Yes, it would be Jimmy for all those who aren't, you know, plugged into the cameras online.
The great JC.
Yes, JC. My personal savior.
Not necessarily late, but I don't think the man's ever been on time for anything in his life.
No.
That would not fly with me.
I remember it was when I was in high school. My friend Leslie, I always called her my personal lesbian. She and I would talk on the phone at, you know, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, both of us with our radios tuned to KPFT, doors locked, just talking back and forth about what we're hearing on the radio station. And it was a lifeline for me. I mean, granted, I was at, you know, Houston Gay High School, but it was... It was nice to be able to hear people outside the dramas of all the fags at school. It was nice to know that there was a real world out there.
Are we talking about High School for the Performing Arts?
Yeah, the High School for the Performing and Visual Arts. HSWB Gay. And I loved my years at high school, damn it. Really fun for me, finally getting to come around KPFT, and then hanging out with people that I used to, you know, listen to on the radio, and then being somebody that got listened to on the radio. I mean, you know, doing the Hatch segment was, you know, a real joy for me, and it took a little bit of a rocky start within Hatch because we had to figure out how we were going to do it. But the fact that it's still going on is just amazing to me. And
if you could go back
to be able to leave something for other people is just fantastic.
And you're still there to see it.
Mm-hmm.
This far along.
If you could go back in time and do any one thing about the early Hatch years differently, what would it be?
Nothing. It happened the way it happened, and it happened the way it was supposed to happen.
Exactly.
Change nothing.
Can you stop with the puns? Exactly.
Exactly.
I know, I just don't throw that egg. Pun in it.
And then the eggs.
So, but,
And while we're on that, it's Seth and I, not Seth and me.
How many of you are there, Seth?
I was correcting Maddie about what she said earlier.
Aww.
So, and then, well,
the three aspects of the ego, me and myself and I.
Some of my other heroes, you know, when I got to Hatch, there were a couple facilitators who just, you know, the fact that they were there was really important for me. Really? You sure? So, I don't know. I'm just going to keep rambling. So, why don't we find somebody who still knows how to give the show direction?
Well, that's an interesting topic. You know, what would you change about your life if you possibly could? Me personally, I don't think I would change a single thing, because if any single event had happened differently, I wouldn't be the person I am today.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, might have been a good thing.
That is
one thing for...
I beg your pardon.
Just kidding,
well, there's also, you know, that principle that, you know, if you say yes to all the great stuff in your life, you also have to say yes to all the bad stuff in your life. You can't have one without the
other. Yeah, if you're going to live life, you have to take the good with the bad.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't,
because if you don't have bad, how are you going to know what good is?
If life had taken a different turn, you know?
Well, and really, it's just a matter of perspective as to whether or not it's good or bad.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that is one thing I'm very thankful for. Everything that has happened to me, both good and bad, and me, some really bad stuff has happened to me, but I am thankful for it all. In fact, every night when I'm going to sleep, I pray. I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. And I thank God for, you know, all the events that have happened to me, all the people I have met, and all the friends I have, because they are each a part of who I am today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you can't love yourself in the moment, then you really have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm glad that I'm able to be, you know, that shoulder to cry on for my friends. I'm glad that I'm aspiring to do the things that I want to do, and that, you know, I have plans to carry them out. And I'm glad that I'm a genuinely all-around good person.
I'm glad you are, too.
Thank you.
So if you could change anything, Maddie, would you? Aside from that,
well, I think that would be the first thing, actually.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but I don't know, because I've got too many experiences now.
If you would have been born a woman, you wouldn't have found Hatch.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I would have had to see you. See what that
people love me. People love
you. You haven't bred the
But I was saying that would have been a bad thing if I hadn't seen you.
Oh.
See?
Well, most of the time you're putting me down, so I assumed.
Remember, I told you that besides person C, you're the second one on my list of best friends.
Oh. If your friends can't make fun of you, who can?
Exactly.
I know. It's good practice.
Goddess knows.
Politicians. Comedians. In fact, actually, I was going to say, I met tonight was a fun night because I did a black tie dinner for Hatch, and they had Leslie, I don't know his last name. That's
Jordan.
Leslie Jordan.
That
was on Will
her.
And Grace. Oh, it was hilarious watching him tonight. And said one thing I loved, the best comment I heard all night was when he said, yeah, they always ask me, what's your coming out story? He said, don't you have to be in before you can be out?
There you go.
And he's like, all I remember is when I came out of my mother, I went into her heels.
I like that.
That was totally awesome.
Which is a whole lot more radio appropriate than his other fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he said a few things, but I'm not going to go into them.
Okay.
But it was fun.
And we need to wrap up this segment.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Okay. Before we end it, could I give out those numbers again?
You bet you can.
Yes, once again, Sunday, November 12th is our next Friends and Family Night. Bring your friends, bring your family, bring yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Just no pets.
Yeah, well, I don't know. November 17th is going to be our Thanksgiving feast. And the Hatch number, if you want information about schedules or the address for Hatch, or, you know, to talk with somebody... That number is 713-529-3590. And if you feel that you're in the time of a crisis, or if you just need somebody to talk to really badly, or if you know somebody else who is and you need someone to talk to, or they do, you can call the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard of Houston, which is 713-529-3211. And if I were you, I'd program that into your cell phone under GLHS, because you don't know who goes through your phone.
There you go.
Don't forget the Hatch website, too, which www.hatchyouth.org, which is a great site to visit, and it will also have the number on it, too.
Yes, that will also have the phone number for the Hatch line on there, which also has an automated schedule.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Neat. Well, Seth, Madison, Brendan, Scott, thank you all for being here tonight.
It was fun.
And we look forward to seeing you next month.
As we do you.
Thank you. Okay, a little piece of music, and we've got the president of NLH Houston coming in, and then the Binet Group. So, hang on. There's lots more to come on After Hours. And while you're listening to this song, you could pick up that phone and make a pledge of support to After Hours and KPFT at 713-526-5738. 713-JAM-KPFT. We need you to put your money where your ears are right now. Thank you.
I'm the toughest girl alive. But I've been
Whoa, Candy Cane, one of my favorite bisexual artists, with I'm the Toughest Gal Alive. Now in the studio, we have the president of NLH Houston, National Leather Association. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself?
Fine. And your name?
Sir Robert Helms.
Okay. I wanted you to say it because I didn't want to mess up there. Thank you, Robert. What's going on with NLH? I mean, we touched on it earlier in the show with Stephen when we were talking about the toy drive and
right.
What a great success that has been over the years.
Almost definitely.
And so we want to promote that and make it even better.
Well, definitely. It's the NLA Toy Drive actually benefits AIDS Foundation Houston mm-hmm. and their Red Ribbon Toy Drive, which will start up this week. And in several of the bars over in the Montrose area, you're going to start seeing the toy collection boxes
That's
are
right.
going to show up. And we're looking at hopefully running through the beginning of December.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Toy Drive benefits AFH. Again, it's for anyone, the children who are affected or infected with HIV or AIDS
right.
from 0 to 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we're collecting toys, anything. The toys mostly are from the kids from 0 to 13.
Mm-hmm.
And then anyone from 13 and up, we generally, AFH will get together and they give gift cards to the kids at that age so they can go to the stores and buy their own gifts.
There you go. So yeah. We're looking for unwrapped toys.
Unwrapped toys.
And money.
Definitely money.
Yeah.
You can give the money directly to AFH.
Mm-hmm.
And you can contact Mark Cohen over there.
Oh, yes.
Mark's in charge of the toy drive,
okay.
of the AFH Red Ribbon Toy Drive.
Yes. What if they want to give it to NLH Houston? Or you, I mean, they may happen to be out when you're doing something. And
right. Actually, we are planning a fundraiser, a toy drive, that's going to be hopefully over at one of the bars. When we get more information, we'll
mm-hmm.
get it out.
Okay.
But we're tentatively planning for December 1st, which is World AIDS Day.
Yes.
And hopefully being able to do this over at Mary's at about 8 p.m. at night.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mary's is it would be the place to do it. I mean, it's the oldest bar in Texas.
Yeah, one
so
of the best. Adult,
I mean, we were talking about that on Lone Star Activists group. I didn't know when Mary's opened. I mean, I was around. And we discovered it was in 1969.
Right, that was official. That
yes.
was the one we just found that out.
Just found yeah. that out, yes. 1969, the year of Stonewall. Mary's opened up.
And That's, the Summer of Love.
Yes, it was. Oh, my. Yes, I was there. you weren't.
No, yet. My sister was.
Okay. So, what else is NLA doing?
Well, currently, NLA is in the midst of our membership drive.
Okay.
We're trying to get some more members and build everything back up.
Sure.
We've got our anniversary is coming up in April.
Mm-hmm.
It should be April 20th and 21st of 2007. We're just basically going around. We're helping out where we can and
okay.
doing what we can with the other groups that are in town.
Great. Any particular events that you've got other than the World AIDS Day coming up?
Not at this time,
okay.
other than Louis weekend that's coming
up. Oh, well, of course, yes, Louis. Oh, my.
How can you forget Louis?
Absolutely. That's, like, the biggest thing, I think, in Houston.
Yeah.
It's certainly the longest-running event, I think.
We're going on 30. This will be number 34, 35.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
I don't think any event can say that.
Right, and the funny thing was last year, Fred Phelps was in town.
Yes, and I remember that.
Yeah, boycotting everyone else at the same time. He had all these hundreds of homosexuals that were running around, and he was protesting some politician or something
yes,
like that.
Yes, and didn't even realize what was going on in this town. That was funny. I think Chris Harrison was the one that alerted me to that, and because we talked about it on the show. That's pretty funny.
Of course, Chris has his finger on the pulse of everything.
Oh, doesn't he? So these boxes are going to be at a lot of bars in the Montrose area.
Definitely, those boxes will be found. We will for sure have one over at Mary's
mm-hmm.
at the Ripcord. You just have to take a look around.
Sure.
I know AFH will be putting out their toy boxes as well, their collection boxes.
Okay.
So it's just a matter of taking a look around and seeing what's there. The Kroger on Montrose and Hawthorne will probably have
Toy box out there. Oh, yes. The Kroger, yes. Yes.
Yeah, those boxes are going to be everywhere.
Good, so. Good. And as that comes around, we'll give you a list of all the ones that we know about. Because we want people out there to fill those boxes up.
Oh, yeah.
And like you said, any cash donations, you can send them to Mark Cohen, C-O-H-E-N, over at AIDS Foundation Houston. And that's located on Wesleyan. I don't know the address offhand. I really don't.
3202 Wesleyan.
3202 Wesleyan.
In fact, I got Mark's phone number, too, now that I find it.
Wow.
let's see. He would be at 713-623-6796, extension 230.
Good. Robert, thank you for being here. And you know, anytime you want to promote something, you just come knocking at the door.
Oh, we greatly appreciate
it. And we'll put you on. You bet. You bet. And I know you're probably tired. NLA's been bartending, right?
We've been bartending, and we've been working with PWA Holiday Charities, doing the 10th anniversary.
That's right, the 10th anniversary of the PWA.
That's been
Holiday Charities. It's a great institution.
Yeah.
Great institution. Yeah. I saw you this afternoon over at Mary's. Yeah.
Yep.
I was part of the two different groups there, the ICOH and GCAM, Gulf Coast Archive and Museum, because we had some pictures of Lady Victoria Lust's vest and her colors and certificates and things like that that we had on display, plus a real dress that she wore.
Yeah, I saw that while I was over there.
Yes, that came up for auction a few months ago.
Really?
I can't even remember the group that was doing it. But somebody donated one of her dresses. And so I had to get it. you know that a dress that was worn by Lady Victoria Lust deserves to be in the museum. So we have one now.
Oh, so you got it for the museum, you didn't get it for yourself.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Well, you know, sometimes you just want to put on a dress and go down to the dock. I mean,
there you go.
Not to say he wasn't tempted.
Okay, Robert, thank you very much, and thanks for being on After Hours.
Oh, greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much.
And now a piece of music again, and this time Nurse Robert, a different Robert, pick this one out because it is off of the Hot and Sweet Out Music Compilation CD, and it's all bisexual artists. Imagine that. Okay, and this is Josh Zuckerman, totally new sensation from his album by the same name. And you're listening to it on After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude right here on good old listener-supported KPFT Houston 90.1 FM and 89.5 down in Galveston. And you can still call us 713-526-5738 with your pledge of support for this show and KPFT.
Wrong, I don't care if I belong, but I conversations with you. The grand desire plan to let myself go. So if it's love, or if it's good to feel the softness of your lips, I am not afraid of what people say. If it's right or if it's wrong, I don't care if I belong. But I am not afraid of you. It's totally new sensation. All we need is love, love. It's all about love, love. If it's that if it's love or if it's good to feel the softness of your lips, I am not afraid of what people say. And if it's right or if it's wrong, I don't care if I belong. I am not afraid of what people say. If it's love or if it's good to feel the softness of your lips,
Josh Zuckerman from the Hot and Sweet compilation from Out Music. And this is a whole group of bisexual people putting out music.
It's a marvelous compilation.
Yes, it is. Before we go any further, and I know the bi folks are just waiting in the wings here, I've got to do this. This is it's right up there at the top of the hour. You're listening to KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston. Here's another one of these folks who's running for the station board.
Here at KPFT, your vote matters most. Now here's a word from one of our candidates.
I'd like to start by thanking all of you for listening and for supporting KPFT. This is Wendy Schroe, and I'm running for re-election to the KPFT local station board. Since you all elected me 3 years ago, my colleagues on the LSB chose me to represent KPFT on the National Board of Directors for the Pacifica Foundation for two consecutive terms, and I've served on numerous important committees with both the PNB and the LSB during this time. Currently, I'm the chair of the KPFT Development Committee, where we actually raise money for KPFT. Great successes already, and many exciting initiatives in the works to decrease the number of days that your programming is interrupted by on-air fund drives. I've been on the KPFT staff as well as the board side, so I understand all the different aspects of running an important radio station like this. Not afraid to speak out, but also known as a bridge builder. Thank you all for considering making Wendy Schroe your number one choice, but whether you vote for me or not, please be sure and vote. The station needs all of our input in order to thrive.
KPFT Houston.
Yes, the station does need and deserve your support. And speaking of that support, we've unfortunately only have two people to thank. Jen, who left a pledge in my mailbox. I was quite blown over by that. And Paul, our intrepid photographer, who never fails every single pledge drive, Paul writes a check. So why haven't you written your check to KPFT or give us a call and put it on plastic?
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of gifts and giveaway things for, you know, depending on the amount that you pledge. I don't know. Folks, Dave,
yes.
David, Robin.
Yo.
What does this show mean to you? We're talking about pledging, and why should people pledge? What does this show mean to you? What have you gotten out of it?
For me, it is validation for who I am. And therefore, if I make my own pledge, which I will be doing,
thank you.
I am self-validating. I am active. I am doing something to support something that supports me.
Yeah.
No, I'm giving something back.
You've been very faithful. You came up here for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, months
yeah.
upon months, and finally said, "Hey, how about you know, let's make a change in the buy group?" And
right.
You know, and I couldn't say no.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Robin. Yeah.
And your other half, Robin, same thing.
And what I got out of it, just the station in general, is they talk about a lot of African-American issues that you really don't hear in other stations because of the other stations are being funded or can't think of the word for it right now, sponsored. And a lot of the sponsors don't allow that open dialogue. And this station allows that. And then glad to have a station that talks about gay issues. You don't hardly hear that hardly anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about bisexuality. It's like, where do you hear about that anywhere? So that's what I get out of it.
Good for you. Good for you.
All right.
So that number, 713-526-5738. 713-JAM-KPFT. That's the number.
That's right.
That's the number. We need and deserve your support for this show. We have less than an hour left to make our goal, and we're about halfway there, I'd say. But we really need to send that message to management that this show needs to stay on the air and celebrate another 19 years.
Yeah, really. So, folks, where are you doing? Put down that bar drink or put down whoever you're doing and give us a call.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't get to hear stuff like about bisexuality. You got a lot of bisexuals out there unless some of them are still in the closet. I can imagine someone probably got some headphones on so nobody else won't hear it and stuff. And you don't get that nowhere else. And the only way to keep that going is you got to make sure that to have money to keep it going. So, and if we didn't have it that way, we would have to have these other sponsors and these commercials breaking in and won't be able to really talk about what really needs to be talked about.
That's right. Because when you talk about the closet, I think the bisexual closet, probably the biggest one of all, because there's such a different range of bisexuality.
Oh, yeah.
You know, from just a little bit to a whole lot and everything in between. And I think most bisexuals... what I would term a bisexual, I don't think these folks who are would even admit it to themselves.
Right.
They maybe know, they probably know subconsciously.
Right.
But like you said, they're listening with headphones
right
now to what you two have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, you know, Robin has been out for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
But David, you're pretty recent to bisexual.
Pretty recent. And again, it's kind of like...
allowing yourself to feel those emotions.
Right, to be aware, hey, there's something going on here. I'm there's more here than just some curiosity about, quote unquote, the gayness.
Right.
It's a realization. You know, I see a gay man, I'm looking in a mirror mm-hmm. and seeing something of myself.
Yeah.
This is one of those things where there's really no support groups for gays. Mm-hmm. For this is a lot of support groups for gay people. I mean, everywhere now. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, gay people has really made a milestone. And really, they got a little ways to go, but they have really made it where if you're gay, they got Hatch. If you're in high school, or if you're an older person, I'm sure they got stuff for that and all kinds of ranges. But for bisexual, it's like something that's just kind of like people have a really harder time understanding it than even understanding gay. And a lot of times they'll tell you it's just a myth or, oh, that can't happen. They just being promiscuous. They want to try everything, you know, or whatever. They don't look at it as a lifestyle. They look at it just being wild or something. So,
who says that's not a lifestyle?
But, you know, it's a bad behavior. And another thing I want to say is me and David's not getting paid to do this. We're up real late at night and up to, like, 5 o'clock in the morning doing this stuff. So, and we're not getting paid a dime for it. We're just doing this because we feel like the information needs to be out there. You know, all the money is not going, this money is not going to me. It's not going to pay my rent or nothing like that. Oh, buy me a piece of it. This money is going on running the equipment and making sure everything is running okay and even the lights on and this stuff like that.
And I have to throw out one more thing here. It's a thought I had earlier listening to Hot and Bothered show. Had this thought about, you know, why should people give money to KPFT? You know, when you could otherwise go listen to a commercial station and in exchange for putting up the commercials, get a free show. Is that, you know, again, the act of donating the money is an act of self-support. You know, like I said, I'm self-validating. I'm doing something to support something that supports me.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, keep in mind that the people who, for whatever reason, take a different view from what we tend to promote, some are actively fighting us, others may are indifferent or whatever, but a lot of these people put a lot of money into what they do, and quite frankly, because they do believe in what they're doing. You know, right, wrong, or indifferent, they do get, you know, they believe in what they're doing, and they're doing their thing, their part to support what they want to do. So it's a case of what are we each of us doing to support ourselves, support the lifestyle we want to have, support to help create the world kind of where we want to live in. You know, and that just getting a little bit of money to the station is one way of doing that.
Very good.
So,
and that number again?
713-526-5738.
Good.
So it's
Jam KPFT. That's right. So, what's your topic tonight?
Okay, kind of ties us what we've been doing. Something I want to talk about tonight. Looking at this from a bisexual perspective, though in practice you can look at any perspective, it'll still have value. Something that Rob and I have been participating in for about 6 weeks now, there's a discussion group we're meeting, and the subject, the title of this group is Discussions on Racism.
It's called Healing Racism.
Yeah. It's co-sponsored by the Center for the Healing of Racism and the Mankind Project Houston, a group which I'm involved with. And we've been meeting at the Mankind Project Lodge, which is over at the address is 6950 West 43rd Street. And it's an eight-week class. There's 2 weeks left, so if anybody still wants to come to it, you can still come participate in those last two. So it usually goes from 7 to 9 Tuesday nights. And what we're talking about is just subject of racism. But, of course, in practice, just, you know, like I said, the title is racism, but in practice we're talking about all the isms.
I mean, they had, like, different, every week they have something different. Like, the first week they talked about just racism in general and what does racism mean. And racism and prejudice is two different things.
Right.
I think what she said is prejudice.
A prejudice or prejudgment.
Yeah. Something about race. Racism means prejudice with power.
Right.
And prejudice means there's race that's being just not liking something that's different from you.
Right.
And She had different categories.
And she is being the...
Her name is Cherry.
Cherry, the woman who's been hosting the group. She's a co-director at the Center of Healing Racism. Cherry, full name Cherry Steinwender. So, anyway.
And so the difference... Well, most of the main thing we really wanted to talk about was white privilege.
Yeah.
Or... And in this, and I stand for it with this show, it's a straight privilege.
Right.
And it kind of fit almost in the same category because this country was made on straight people.
Some people were in a position of power.
Uh-huh.
Who were born into places of privilege. I think Praise of Her was born to belong.
And like doing this, the racism standpoint is a lot of people that are Anglo or European American doesn't really pay attention to this until it's acknowledged to them. And sometimes they'll take it in and go, oh, I didn't pay attention to that, or they'll just reject it because it sounds too like making you feel guilty.
Right. Come on, it can't be that bad.
And I don't want nobody to feel guilty. I just want people to be aware of it so they can try to change it. Is this country was made up for white people. It wasn't made up for anyone else. And if you really pay attention to where you're born, when you're born white, you don't have... You already got your own television shows. I mean, everybody that's in power is white. Everything that runs the media to grocery stores, everything is white. And basically, everybody else kind of have to work their way up to getting that. And a lot of times, it doesn't make it.
So, what has it been your experience of being not white?
Experience of not having the privilege. It's just a lot harder for me to get a job or harder for me to enroll in school. And a lot of people say, oh, you're just complaining and bitching and stuff. You need to just shut them, go do it. Well, I had an example. Was my sister was studying to be an airline stewardess. And how they had it set up was for you to be an airline stewardess, you had to take about 12 weeks, and they have you live in a hotel. And basically, the hotel has a pool and everything, but they give you so much homework and so much work to do, you really don't have time to really have a lot of leisure time. And my sister and her friend were African-American, and they were roommating with these two Anglo-American women. And during their leisure time, my sister and her friend were studying really hard because they really wanted to do this. Well, the Anglo people didn't hardly study, and they went out and jumped in the pool. And while getting in the pool with their clothes on, which is against the rules of the hotel, you have to wear swimwear.
Okay.
And they didn't even get in trouble for it. And if my sister would have done that, they would have got in trouble for it. Anyway, they didn't do too well on the test, but they passed. If my sister wouldn't have worked as hard, I went past, she would have gone ahead and flunked out. That's one of the examples. And I've seen other examples where I had a friend of mine. She was Anglo-American and European-American. And I couldn't find a job. I had a hard time finding work. And she didn't have a job. I said, oh, man, you know, if I was white or something, it'd be easier for me to find a job. She said, that's not true and all that. And she just kept arguing with me about it. I said, well, this is how I can prove it to you. Okay, I got all dressed up wearing nice clothes, you know, very nice slacks or whatever, looking very professional, had a, like, briefcase and everything. And we walked down the same information of me and her. She wore sweatpants and jeans, had her hair in different colors, didn't wear makeup, didn't do anything. And basically, didn't even have any papers. She just basically showed up. And we went to the same places. We went to about 10 places in the Rice University area and applied for 10 applications. And we had put the exact same experiences and everything on it. And I didn't get not one phone call. She got about 5 or 6 phone calls. And this girl, She didn't bathe or anything. I wanted to really make it look like a big difference.
Right.
And she realized, I told her, she said, did you get any calls? I said, no. It just hit her like, oh, my God, I didn't know that. It happens to us all the time. Mm-hmm. It's harder for us to get work.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we dress up and make ourselves look great, we have to work extra hard to get what comes for you real easily. And that's how it is. That's how this country was built up. So, and it might be true for bisexuals and gay people.
Right. Well, we were originally talking about the subject for this month's show, so talk about our experience doing this discussion group. It occurred to me that I am, by birth, am the receiver of privilege, unearned privilege, in three different areas. One area is my skin color. I am of European descent. I do claim a Native American ancestry, but that's only a small percentage of who I am. The rest of me is European, probably, Anglo, Scotch, Irish descent. And so I am in this culture that we have, here in the U.S., but perhaps Western culture in general. I'm already a member of a group and don't really have to do anything to prove myself just by my skin color. It's like you're saying, I might, if I and a black male were to go job hunting, I might have a better chance of getting a job if the other guy has greater experience. I actually did get a job once several years ago where that may have happened, where I was sort of the token white male, white guy there at the interview process, and I'm the one who got hired. Now, I will say I did make a point to make a good impression, and I'd like to think that helped, but. Ultimately, my skin color may have made a difference, too, whether that had anything to do with my skills or not. Another area where I see I get privilege is because I am male. There's still that sexism that occurs about, that as a group, women still get paid less than men do for doing the same job. So that's still an issue there. You've got women who have, over years been making a lot of progress and taking on roles which traditionally they didn't do, but yet which they're still certainly capable of doing. I mean, I think, forget the details now, but I recently heard about a woman being appointed as a bishop or an archbishop in the Anglican Church here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So that's progress right there.
Well, look at how many astronauts these days are female.
Right.
Or how many are in lead positions in politics.
Right.
Senators,
mm-hmm.
Congressmen. Excuse me, congresspersons.
Right.
Both, lead to your finer point.
Mm-hmm. But, still, they had to work for it. I basically haven't had to work for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, even look at what Condoleezza Rice is doing.
Right.
Now, nobody really knows how hard or long a road she has had to fight
right.
in order to get there. I'm sure somebody does and probably will call me on that.
Right.
But she probably had to work 10 times as hard to get where she is to kind of make the point that, your other half is making.
Right. As I agree, the flip side is you still don't see all that many house husbands.
That's true.
That's still pretty rare.
That's
well,
true.
Well, it's the thing that, this country has been here for a very long time. How many years?
As a organized country.
And they had all these presidents, and not one of them was an Anglo.
Consider this. Out of all those presidents, not one of them were female.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And in all the races... All the races that were run, there I can only think of one
mm-hmm.
in which there was a female vice president nominee.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Geraldine Ferrara.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're carrying a double-edged sword, Carol. I mean, you're both black and you're a female.
Oh, yeah, they're that double whammy.
And
yeah, really.
Then to top all that off, you're willing to accept the fact that you find both male and female equally attractive.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Uh-huh.
Now, a third area where I get privilege, been the inheritor of privilege, which I otherwise did not do anything to get,
mm-hmm.
as do sexual orientation.
Okay.
I consider myself to be bisexual.
Right.
But that's a label I've only applied to myself perhaps seriously pass away the last 5 or 6 years and have only been considering perhaps for the last 10 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I can saw myself as straight. Most people saw me as straight. My primary relationship is with a woman, even though I do enjoy being sexual with men.
Right.
Therefore, I am the inheritor of straight privilege.
Right. And as we all know, that when you live in the state of Texas, the good old boys just look at you, and if you're straight, you're okay.
Right.
And if you're anything else, well, then you don't belong, and they're going to do everything they can to set themselves against you.
Right.
Yeah, the thing about this about being gay and straight is straight people can get married. And
right.
I find out the reason why gays want marriage don't really have anything to do with really being married. It's about the benefits you get from being married.
Right.
Like, for instance, me and David gets married. When me and him can get a home and David gets killed or dies, I inherit the house.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen with gay couples. And then as me and him have kids or... and he doesn't have to adopt a kid. It's his kid. Even if I adopt a kid and I don't have a kid, it's still our kid. But a gay person, if a female has a kid, the lesbian lover has to adopt a kid for her to have responsibility for the child. And as another example is, what if David, I end up in a hospital and I'm unconscious and I need to have some emergency surgery. And David, he'd be able to sign for me to have surgery. If he was a female and he was a lesbian, he wouldn't be able to do that.
Right.
Because they're not married.
Or by chance, I did, Barb and I went our separate ways. I met some guy who said, oh, this, relationship worked quite well for us. Right now, legally, we cannot get married.
Right.
Now, why I say, legally I can't do that, illegally I basically go do what I want. I can still go create a relationship, but as far as the law and land is concerned, there's still no legal protection.
But this is the thing that straight people have, is they have the thing with the insurance and all that stuff. Gay people can't get that.
Right.
Gay or lesbian, they can't get that because they're not allowed to get married.
Right.
And you got these religious rights and all these... Republicans and all these different people want them to get married, and I think that may be the main reason.
I'll sometimes ask myself, though, why are these people fighting tooth and nail to oppose gay marriage, oppose affirmative action and all that? And I think it is kind of just a fear of losing that privilege.
It's an equality issue.
Right.
If we give them the privileges of marriage, and to them it is actually a privilege, it's not a right, something that can be granted or taken away, then they think, okay, now they truly are my equal,
right.
And I've been raised all my life to believe that they're inferior to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm superior because I'm straight.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly that notion gets taken away, and all the fear that's underneath that starts to come up.
That starts to bubble to the surface.
Yeah.
It makes them question who they really are inside, too. It makes them face it more.
Right.
And they don't want to face that because they've been taught that that's evil and that's not right and it's not normal. It's illness or something. It forces them to really, because some of these people are walking around here bisexual. I mean, we're hearing about these politicians and preachers and stuff coming out of woodwork getting in trouble because they're talking to some dude on the internet or some kid on the internet, and it's the same sex as there. I was like, wait a minute. Ain't you was bitching about the other day about how that is so wrong, but then you're going to go behind closed doors and get on the internet? And talk to some guy or something, or maybe meet up with some male prostitute or something. I've been hearing about that stuff for the past couple of months now.
Right. That's probably been going on for a lot longer than that.
And trust me, there's a lot of bisexuals.
As long as time has existed.
There's a lot of bisexuals out there, and I think there's a lot more than people realize.
I saw a sign, a website the other day that proposed a change in the stipulations. Like the Kinsey Report said that it was 1 in 10 that of people that were gay.
All right. Cecily.
And they're saying now that it's more like 60% of all men have had or still do have some attraction to members of their own gender.
Right.
It's more like an 8 out of 10. I'm serious. That's right. The scale they've been getting.
Well, the reason I was interested in doing this discussion group is I am interested in having a better understanding of the social messages that we get.
Right.
Because when I call myself bisexual, my sense is, yes, that's who I have always been.
Right.
But in a way, I really did not start to think myself that way until I found out there was such a word. So again, it's like, what information did I get or not get that could give me a better understanding of who I am? You know, because, yeah. I mean, growing up, you know, with the boys would pick on each other if they thought you were being a sissy or something, or, you know, that's what girls do. We don't want to do that.
Right.
It's just a thing. They don't have anything against girls. It's just the idea to sign a weakness. They look at females as being weak and docile, and that scares guys because they don't want to be marked as that, as being weak. Because in this country, society, you're taught that if you're a man, you got to be strong and don't show any fear or don't show any fear or anything like that.
Don't show any emotions either.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, our friends across the Atlantic Ocean in England would be very big on that one. You show no emotion.
Right.
Yeah. But
keep up a stiff upper lip.
That's it. Got a stiff upper lip. And what good does that do you? Where does it get you? I mean...
Probably a sore lip.
It goes without saying, I think. Adds to your own sense of frustration.
Right.
Because you can't admit who you are and who you want to be with.
Right. Can't show emotions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, I can remember growing up as a kid, having my father say, "Boys, don't cry. Don't stop crying." Boy,
yeah.
"Boys, don't cry." And, of course, especially early on, sort of like I looked at him, had the thoughts... You know, forget the exact wording, but the translation today is, "You're an idiot. What are you talking about?" But I still picked up the message from other kids and took it, then internalized it.
Right.
Not necessarily because I agreed with it, but to protect myself from their teasing or their abuse.
Right.
And of course, then I turn around and abuse somebody else.
I mean, think about it. You get these subtle informations. Like every time you watch a cartoon show that's for boys, you got these superheroes that are real strong and they don't show any emotions. And they got these big muscles and everything. And when it's something for girls, it's all emotion. You know, it's all, it's real emotion. So, I mean, that's some of the messages that guys get, boys get, and they grow up.
Mm-hmm.
They internalize that, too.
At the same time, I can remember as growing up as a child that I think I was, in fact, seeking out some images because I better understand, okay, who am I? You know, show me something that helps me to see myself. And that's what I saw and that's what I bought into.
Right.
If I had gotten different information, I would probably have had developed a different attitude. And kind of what it leads up to is the idea of the internalizing of whatever ism that you've been subjected to. I mean, as a white male, I picked up certain images or information that somehow suggests, well, maybe I'm better or whatever. And somehow I did take that in. And of course, I also took in some of the fears about, say, black people or gay people or anybody who has, been labeled as the other. And even, I've come to realize, even in situations where I hear information that pointed out how, dumb that may be, I still was, just the fact was they're pointing out this issue, this negative issue, I still took that in. It's like, oh, I better watch out for this. And, still internalize it. Really, quite frankly, just, to protect myself.
Well, they had some examples here that I have here that I can probably read out, or you want to read it out.
Pick one out.
That first one is, racism has made us think of ourselves or each other as stupid, lazy, unimportant, or inferior.
More of those stereotypes.
Right.
And this is mostly mostly people of minority have this internalized. I went experienced this example.
You mean they've heard it so long and so often that they've begun to believe it themselves?
Right.
It's the idea that I'm African American. I remember going to school in the biracials of the real bright African Americans got all the attention. They got appeased more. They got away with more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the darker you are, the more you got treated, the more you got picked on. Even the teachers and authority figure would treat you different if you're darker. And you internalize that, oh, I'm dark, so I'm no good. So you just kind of internalize that. And I went through that. Actually, went through that in school. Mm-hmm. And here's another example. Racism has made us criticize or
verbally
attack each other using the racism message of our society or allow others in our group to do so.
Okay, but does that mean that racism is more prevalent amongst people who are bisexual?
Not necessarily.
Oh, yes.
Really?
It's
okay.
Like, look around us. We are in the Montrose area right now. How many gay black bars do you see?
Well, I don't see any bars that are limited one way or another to any one aspect of racing. I mean, as far as I know, every bar here seems to be equally represented by all the races, Caucasian, Asian, Highlander, Islander.
Well, see, the thing of it is I'm not, the bars that are out here, the music and everything,
yes,
is mostly Anglo. If you go to a Latino bar, you're going to hear Latino rap, Latino music, Tejano. It's going to be mostly, if you go inside of the place, it's going to be mostly fizz and choice that culture.
And
same thing with a club called Martini's. There's actually one bar out here that's for gay and lesbians. It's called Martini's. The style of the music, even the way the place has been designed, is centered towards the black culture. And most of the bars that are out here, even though everybody goes in there, the music and stuff is going to be mostly centered towards almost European. I mean, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with it because I like it too. I mean, I went to South Beach tonight and I love that place. But the way the place is centered, it's mostly centered around the so-called white privilege. You can't see it until somebody really brings it out to you. It's so present.
Yeah, I got to say, it's not necessarily, again, like I said, it's nothing quote-unquote wrong with it. You know, obviously, people who are of Latin descent might prefer to hang around, maybe more comfortable with other people of the same culture.
Listen to Latin music,
right, too.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, because every now and then, I like to hear some rap or I like to hear some R&B.
Right.
I mean, and you just don't hear that in most of these clubs, which is, don't bother me, but sometimes it would be nice to be able to go somewhere that I grew up with and I can relate to more. I go somewhere and mingle with someone that's the same. They went through the same background that I went through growing up.
Right.
And a lot of these clubs, even though they're nice and they're really nice people in there, and I had any problem with it, it's just the way it's made up. It's made up basically for the white gay male, white female. I mean, there's only one lesbian place in this area for blacks and Latinos. It's basically black and Latino mix. I think it's called Rainbow. And then they have Martini's, which is black and lesbian or bisexual. And it's basically straight up African-American. It's Afro-Central culture. You hear rap, R&B. Even the drinks are named differently. Everything is about it is African-American.
Mm-hmm.
And
so then your community definitely is well represented inside the city of Houston.
You count how many of those places are in the Montrose area, and then you count how many of the regular bars that I mentioned, how many of those compared to
you're never going to get the two sets of numbers to even out.
Mm-hmm. And it would be nice as it was. It'd be nice to see an Asian bar, or they starting to have these places that are like East, like India type stuff,
mm-hmm.
and they play this nice techno Indian music and this Indian R&B. I mean, it's just, I've been in those places, but there's none in the Montrose area that that can cater to maybe gay Indians or lesbian Indians or bi. And it'd be nice to be able to come to Montrose area and it's, everything is there, you know, like you can go anywhere. If you want to be here or there, you can go there. That would be nice, you know, to see that. And but that's just an example mm-hmm. of white privilege. It's even affecting the gay community. And a lot of people don't realize it until it's really presented to them.
All right.
Because it's so obvious. It's like the elephant in the room, you know. You've got this big elephant, but you don't see it. It's so big. It's
nobody wants to talk about it.
Yeah, and so it's nothing wrong with the Anglo gays. They want to have their stuff, but it's got to be some way that everybody else can have it and be in the gay community, so you can go there and be gay and feel comfortable and feel welcome, feel, you know, because I'm so glad there's a gay community. Oh my God, I couldn't wait to get over here when I heard about it, because I can go somewhere and be me.
Right.
But it'd be nice to be me, an African American, and be able to have my culture.
Well, you've mm-hmm. still got it. I mean,
oh, yeah.
You've already mentioned two places that mm-hmm. are
right.
openly available for people of African American descent
uh-huh.
to go into and to be gay or gay related. I mean, whether it's gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, they're all accepted there. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you're accepted in any one of the other clubs,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah. I mm-hmm. never had any problem. I even just went into a leather place and didn't get kicked out. And a lot of times they don't allow just straight up females in there. You know, sometimes they have a rule. So I've been accepted in some places that really normally wouldn't accept me. But, I mean, that's great that they even got leather places where guys that are in the leather and stuff and
so you
BBSM
mean like 6-11.
Can go to. Yeah, in a real court.
Right.
I mean, that's wonderful to have a diversity. So, I mean, we still got a little ways to go.
Okay.
It's not, we got a little ways to go. We got a little work. It's just like the racism in this country in general. We haven't really made a lot of progress.
Here's my thought on that
a lot
matter.
Of work.
That people go where they are comfortable.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Now, when 6-11 or Ripcord or Bricks, that's now changed to George's,
uh-huh.
Or even JR, so the Montrose Mining Company,
mm-hmm.
these were never meant to be specifically one group oriented. They
right.
were just opened to be a bar.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And then it just happens that people of our like-mindedness
mm-hmm.
right.
decided to come in and start to visit or patronage to these certain
mm-hmm.
facilities, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they found acceptance there. And with this in mind, there's no way that anyone out there can go ahead and make a bar that's specifically going to be gay-related and it's going to be for just
right.
the African American or the Asians or the white people. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's just, I have this business concept in mind. I'm going to open a business and get started with it.
Right.
And
yeah.
then hope mm-hmm. that my target audience, whatever that may have been, and in the case of a bar, it's just people who want to come in, have a few drinks, you know, pollute their lungs, have good
right.
good communication with people who think like they do,
right.
and listen to music.
That's what, and that's great. I mean, that's wonderful to have that environment. It's, I think it all should be there. I don't think it should be one or the other.
Right.
I think it should all, everybody, because this country is so diverse. Everybody should be able to have somewhere they can go and drink and dance or just lollygag, like I said, pollute their lungs,
yeah.
You know, and be gay or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And like the martinis, they just straight up meant to be black oriented. I mean, they just, This is a black bar, period.
You say this because the music they play there predominantly is reggae?
Oh, no, it's
or it's hip-hop?
Predominantly hip-hop or R&B. Anything that's Afrocentric is going to be there. And the owner that owns the place is African-American. You know, it's just basically centered around that. And when the place opened up, it didn't start off as, oh, it was everybody come in. It was. It didn't tell. I mean, you can be Anglo and go in there. They're not gonna kick you out of nothing. But it was just a place where African American and gay, bi, and lesbian can go to and feel like they're in their old South Park or Fourth Ward or Sunnyside. You know, they feel like they're there. I mean, they got bars all over Sunnyside and everywhere, but most of them are straight. So here's a place here that I can go to and be a lesbian or be bi or whatever. And
where you feel accepted.
I feel accepted. And another example I wanted to use was a lot of the African Americans are very serious about church going. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't care how gay they are. They're going to be serious. I mean, it's just our culture. That's what got us out of the Jim Crow and all that stuff back in the 60s. It was the church. They met at the church and organized at the church. The church, it was centered. The church was the foundation. So to this day, it's a big foundation for them. And what I would like to see is they got a lot of these churches down in Houston that are gay friendly or basically
MCC.
Right. It would be nice to have an MCC church that was African American. I would love to see that because then we wouldn't have this problems that's been going on in the black community that are down low and stuff. There's a lot of guys that are down low. And a lot of times they're doing it because they're afraid they're going to be shunned out of the community. They're going to be shunned from their church and stuff like that. And they're not allowed to be themselves, so they sneak around, whatever. Well, if they had an MCCR or some other church, that was because, plus me, an African-American church and a regular church like MCCR or any other church, it is a real big difference.
Now, Carol, I've been to black churches.
Yeah.
I know that there's an awful lot of energy out there.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not so sure that I could, you know, withstand all the energy that would be coming out of a black MCCR.
Well, that's why they have MCCR, the original MCCR, so you can go there and you be comfortable. As some African Americans, every now and then I miss that myself. You know, I haven't been to a church like that in years. And every now and then I like to hear that choir go. And I mean, just the energy of the place kind of gets me going.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I miss that. And there's some people that feel a lot more comfortable in that energy. And the reason why the energy is so powerful, there's a lot of pain in the African American community.
As
and that's how we get it out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's a lot of pain going on because we happen to live in this society where we are not accepted. Even though a lot of white people do accept us, just the way it's set up, it's not. We have to deal with that day to day today.
Mm-hmm.
So going to this church is a way to release. Mm-hmm. It's like he go to New Orleans. I go to some other things. That's how they do it. And that's why the energy is so powerful. And if you're releasing your energy some other way, or maybe you don't got that much energy to release, it's going to feel very uncomfortable to you. So I was thinking about that, you know, MCCR. It's actually thinking about having a certain time of the week or where they have service like that, strictly African American. I said, that's great, because I haven't seen that yet here. I might be in other places, maybe in Dallas or somewhere.
New York,
I don't know. But
Seattle.
I haven't seen that.
San Francisco.
Mm. I mean, they got plenty of churches for straight people. My God, they got some of them, some real. I think they got more African American churches for straight than any other church.
Yeah. That's quote unquote normal.
Uh-huh.
That's
so
the normal people.
You can, and then you can be gay, and you can.
And most of those Southern Baptists.
Uh huh.
Right.
But it'd be nice to be gay and lesbian.
They're the ones who are saying, oh, we're the normal ones. You're all the weirdos. Basically everybody else.
Well, I'm saying it'd be nice to go to a church where
they wear their normalcy like a badge.
you can shout, or you have this choir that's with the robes, everything, but it's gay-friendly. You know, you can go in there, and they're not going to tell you, oh, you're going to hell because you're gay. It's not normal.
Mm-hmm.
You can go in there, just like MCCR don't do it. But just the style and everything of African-American that a lot of African-Americans would like to have, I would love to see that more in the gay community.
Okay. Anyway, something to talk about a minute is, you know, like I said, Rob and I are both bi.
Right.
So what does all this mean? You know, what is our experience with this? I'm going to say, in my own personal experience coming out as bi, there's only been a couple of times I've run into situations where somebody objected, you know, where Ray felt, and unfortunately they were upfront about it. I'm involved in a couple of gay organizations where I may be the token, quote unquote, you know, bi or straight guy. You know, I always, you know, I say, you know, yeah, I'm, you know, the token straight guy in the group. Never mind, I may be just as sexually active compared to some of those other guys are, but that's where I come from. But generally speaking, my experience has been acceptance. I hear stories about what might be considered, you know, bi-ism or bi prejudice against bi people. You know, all the things. Oh, you're just going through a phase from straight to gay, or you're
a fool who just can't make up his mind.
Right.
Well, I've heard that one frequently.
Right. Well, I mean, there's so many choices here. I might want to choose them all.
Mm-hmm.
Or as I sometimes say, I can go either way, and usually do.
Yes, sir.
But like that, except for, you know,
stick a fork in me, I'm done.
Right. So I really have not personally had anything happen, though I will be honest, I go into some of these situations with some fear around, will I be accepted? Mm-hmm. It's like I'm taking that racism or ism, what, you know, the ism name, you know, whatever is, and turning it around, you know, will I be accepted? You know, I mean, it's like I go over to Robin's family, you know, for dinner or something, I'm kind of sitting there, I'm the token white guy.
Right.
It's like, do these people like me? There's like one time we went to this Denny's that's over here off 288.
Oh, yeah, and, I'm a sophomore in 288.
You know, I've been there.
And realize, we get in there, place your order, looking around, realize I'm the only white person here.
Yes.
Of course, my reply back to that was, I'm surprised it didn't make me sit in the back.
Oh, that's not going to happen.
Ms. Parks, where have you gone?
Right. But that's my experience. But I still have that awareness. And again, it's something that's kind of sort of eternalized because I'm kind of watching for that.
Right.
Which, you know, well, that's an issue I have with other areas of my life, never mind my sexual orientation.
Mm-hmm.
So I carry that awareness. And it's case of, you know, there's this phrase about keeping the shadow in front of you. You know, shadow being a psychological term about the things they don't want to look at. But in case, I'm going to take this shadowy thing and keep it out in front of me. So when I'm having that fear, I acknowledge I'm having this fear. I'm going to be here anyway. Now, Robin, I think you've said you've had some experiences trying to be out as a bisexual.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Oh, you mean what happened when we had a bi camp?
Okay, well, that's one example I've heard.
And what was so strange was it wasn't an attack of straight people. It was an attack of the gays and lesbians. Mainly lesbians.
Because they didn't want to accept that you could easily play with someone of the other gender?
Yeah. Oh, they gave us some trouble. We don't go to that campgrounds anymore because they gave us they made it clear that they did not want us there.
Okay.
But what was so strange was before, when we went there the first time, it was some gay people, gay males, and they were okay with it. Oh, whatever. Mm-hmm. Y'all go ahead. I mean, they see money. It's like, it's green. It's like, who cares, you know? As long as you guys follow the rules and da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah. Well, but, speaking of money, and I hate to interfere with, you know, a good conversation,
uh-huh,
but we need to remind everybody that this is Pacifica 90.1. Right. We are listener-sponsored. We are doing a fund drive. Yes, I'm about to ask for money, and I'm going to ask you to dig deep, deep, deep into those pockets, so looking for places that haven't seen sunshine in ages. Now, you can call in your pledges to us at 713-526-5738. For all of you who are alphabetically gifted, it's 713-526-KPFT. We need your money. We need your support. This radio show cannot, I repeat, cannot continue to go on as it is without the donation of funds to support us. If you're listening to me right now, if you're listening to our guest on the other side of the microphone, if you have so much as listened to Democracy Now!, you have listened to something in this station that is part of your day, a gifted or even accepted part of your day that allowed you to get some piece of vital information that you needed. And we couldn't do it without your support.
The phones are manned, I know. They are not ringing. They have not rung this entire show, unfortunately. I would know that. But I still need to ask for the money. So, please, give and give generously. No, I'm not playing preacher. No, I'm not going to say, friends and neighbors, keep those cards and letters coming.
You're right.
But I think I just did. But remember, that telephone number is 713-526-5738, or for the alphabetically gifted, 713-526-KPFT.
Well, in the short period that we have left, I thought maybe we should end this with what we can do as European Americans or straight Americans.
Yeah, that's a little paper that they gave us.
Because instead of complaining all the time, we can also give to...
There's actions people can take. The woman is leading the group. She has this saying she likes to use. I'll say, maybe paraphrase it slightly, but you know that there is this quote-unquote illness called racism or sexism or homophobia. You know, fill in the blank. There is this illness, and that we have all been affected to some degree or another. And her phrase is that being ill, being, you know, affected is not your fault, but getting well is your responsibility. And I do take that person seriously. When I talk about, you know, having all these privileges as a white male, as a white, quote-unquote, straight male or bi male, who tends perhaps to still be straight most of the time, I get these privileges. Well, when it comes right down to it, when I really think about it, I don't honestly get that much from those privileges. You know, may I can go into some place and, you know, go into a store and not have a security guard give me strange looks. Outside of that, there's not much benefit.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's like, I don't, you know, I mean, I'm being practical. What's the point? I honestly don't get anything from it. I don't get anything from hating or being afraid of a black man. If anything, I lose out on the opportunity for another relationship. There's actually a friend of mine I know in the New Warrior, the New Mankind Project community. He's a black man, but we've known each other for years, several years now. Mm-hmm. I consider him a friend. But I actually did tell him once that when I see you, I also feel afraid of you. Because, I had this vague fear you're going to get mad and, you know, explode or something.
Right.
And so I'm holding back. At the same time, I'm holding back.
You were brought up the same way as I was, that all black people were unstable.
Right.
And were not to be trusted.
Right.
But then again, I've got to admit, that does come from my male biological unit, you know.
Yeah.
He unfortunately was raised in Mississippi.
Right.
And he was there during the times when Martin Luther King Jr. was still standing up and saying, you know, I have a dream.
Right.
And I, you know, I am somebody was being bantered about.
Right.
But he was raised to believe that white people and black people just didn't associate.
Right.
He also thinks very strongly about gay and bisexual people as being people who are activists for Satan.
right. No, the devil would just like.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
So, well, you know. Like I say, you know, I look at myself and say, this is not how I want to be.
No.
I want something different. And so I... In my own little way, at least doing, I don't know how much I can do to change the world, but I can definitely do a lot to change myself.
Well, I was going
to
try to read.
To deal with that. To just say, hey, that's, I want to be different. I want to be able to look at a gay man, if a potential sex partner. I mean, if he's, you know, otherwise we can get along with each other.
Mm-hmm. You know? And accept him as an equal.
Right. I don't want to look at this guy and say, you know, look at him and say, oh, there's something wrong here, or of course, being, you know, internalized homophobia that says, oh, I should not have these feelings.
Right.
So it ends up being turned against myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't want that. I want to be much more open and free.
Carol? I thought maybe I should read these quotes here that says, what can you do as a European American? If you'd like to read them, or I could read them.
Okay, cool. Go for it.
Set aside significant time to recall and share stories of misinformation as a quote-unquote right person. Yeah. Person to heal past hurt and feelings of guilt. Number two, Seek out a positive aspect of your own heritage to reclaim complete pride in who you are. Number three, learn and identify European American heroes in our European American heritage who fought against racism in the past and present day. Number four, make conscious effort to become informed of your unaware racism pattern, with special attention to superiority attitude taking over or seeking in a controlling manner. Number five.
Okay.
You want to read it?
Let me read this. Okay. It says here, make a decision to develop friends with people of different cultural, racial, ethnic, or religious backgrounds. Yeah, number six is, I like this. It says, do it. Risk. Make mistakes. In fact, look forward to them. Mistakes are like little badges we wear that say we are out there trying. Okay. Number seven.
Continue to educate ourselves what is currently happening with others in our world by books, newspapers, and magazines, i.e. Ebony Jet books and tapes by Irene Von Stamina.
Satima.
Black newspapers. For support groups, form support groups and organizations that are.
I keep reading. Finish that line.
Multiculture.
Okay. I'll go ahead and finish up again. It's like, what do we do? There's things which I'm doing. I can find people who I can talk to who will support and listen to me. That's why I say, go find people you can talk to who will listen. Things like we do here on KPFT. That's where people get a chance to talk and know they'll be heard. Speak your truth. Keep doing that work. Send somebody to KPFT so people can keep doing these programs. And, I mean, there's the hope's there. We don't. This is not something we got to be stuck with.
And like we said, we have the group that we've been going to, the Healing of Racism.
Okay.
And you can give them the address.
Right. If anybody's interested, we've got two more dates. Basically, the next two Tuesdays. The location is at 6950 West 43rd Street at the. So they're west of 290 on 43rd. It's at the Mankind Projects Lodge. We meet from 7 to 9 on Tuesday nights. We've got two more sessions. And I'll go and finish by saying, if anybody interested in contacting Robin and I about what we talked about, anything else bisexual, on bisexual, I have an email address.
Yeah.
It's biagenda. It's biagenda at ev1.net. You can contact me that way or contact us through After Hours.
And by the way, you can also join us if you'd like to talk more about bisexuality and the subject we've been talking about. You can meet us at the Hobby Cafe every third Thursday of the month.
From about
7:30 to about 9 o'clock. And also get to eat a buffalo burger or whatever
have dinner with us.
It's on Shepherd in between Richmond and Kirby.
It's on Richmond between Shepherd and Kirby. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. So you can come join us every third Thursday, 7:30 p.m.
Is the bi group still doing movie night at the community center?
As a matter of fact, they had movie night tonight.
Uh-huh.
It's every first Saturday of the month at the Gay and Lesbian Center at the 3400 building on the second floor.
3400 Montrose.
3400 right. Montrose, excuse me.
Right across the side street from Kroger.
From the Kroger.
Kroger's is right next door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the corner of Montrose and Hawthorne.
There we go. Okay. We need to get out of here.
All right.
Next group is coming up, and they're going to want your money too, and they deserve it just as much as any other show on this station. So, thank you for the folks who pledged. We'll see you next week. Thank you, Robin and David.
You're welcome.
Yes. You take care. And we'll see you throughout the month. I know how you two are. Yes, they're part of the After Hours crew. They're here almost every week. So, another candidate for the station board, and we'll see you next week.
Here at KPFT, your vote matters most. Now here's a word from one of our candidates.
Hello, I'm Don Cook, and I'm running for the local station board because I want to fully develop democracy at KPFT. I'm a radical believer in democracy. In a true democracy, no one person calls the shots. Every diverse community has a voice. We must do democracy respectfully and trust that it works. If we make mistakes, we can correct them. I have been here a while, and in my community activist.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.